There's a lot of confusion among people and misinformation surrounding face masks. Can you discuss that?
The masks are important for someone who's infected to prevent them from infecting someone else. Now, when you see people and look at the films in China and South Korea, whatever, everybody's wearing a mask. Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Hey, November 14th, 2020, thank you for joining me today. Got a jam-packed show to go over today. One of the main things I want to get into today, which will be right in the middle of the show, is in regard to a mask article. In fact, it was written in July. That is really, really important that I'm actually completely shocked that I didn't see earlier. That I believe somebody sent this to me, but in any case, I can't believe that I didn't find this beforehand. And this is in regard to the psychological aspects, not that we're seeing now, but just like we talked about the parasite stress theory that Derek Broz wrote about and how that viruses in the scenarios we're seeing create or drive people to be okay with authoritarianism and that governments know this and studies have shown this. Well, in the same way, we have studies from before all of this that ultimately show that the mask creates docile, people that are willing to take direction, as well as the fact that it stops people from thinking. It basically removes inhibition and allows people that might not otherwise, in other circumstances, might decide to steal or cheat or rob and others when they wouldn't have otherwise. And there's all these studies about it. And think about how that plays in with where we are and how it, and ultimately the point is it's dehumanizing and what that ultimately leads to. It's a really important thing we're going to talk about. I'm also going to go over some interesting changes in regard to the flu aligning with pneumonia and COVID-19 as we're being shown, and something that, you know, the screen froze on us last time I was trying to show you this. And I think I know why, and we'll go into that a little bit more today as well as something that I touched on before. And I think it was in that same show. In regard to the human rights aspect of all of this and something that the U.S. government is a party to, that they've signed from UNESCO, from the United Nations, that they're signed on to, as well as Israel and plenty of other people in the UN, and are right now openly violating that in regard to how they're progressing with the vaccine. And it's very black and white, regardless of whether you agree with it or not. Signed, agreed to, violating. It's common practice, it would seem, for these good guys today. We're also going to go over some foreign policy if I think we have enough time at the end, some really important topics. But of course, we're going to start with the discussion of Dominion voting, I guess, is the focal point, but it's not really about Dominion voting in this discussion. And it seems that this is not really a complete story. We're going to go into it and how a lot of things are being floated today with really no due diligence and it's incredible how quickly people are willing to believe something because it aligns with what they already think. Now, I've been very clear about how obvious this voter fraud has been, and it's been that way every year. I'm going to show you some things that I've done in the past and some clips that I'm going to be doing that I went over all of the dead people voting. And now every year, the same conversations are had, and every year, the same fingers are pointed and the same locations are called out. And every single year, nothing ever happens about it, which should really show you what you need to know there. But we're going to start with that story right after I point out some interesting things in regard to censorship that I thought I really wanted to share with you guys today. Now, first off, I just wanted to show you that there's a couple of things that videos that got removed. Now, to be clear, again, I want to make sure everyone understands this. Right now, The Last American Vagabond is banned on a Google level. As far as I can tell, there's not even an appeal process. So my main channel is gone, despite I already proved to you guys, oddly enough, that over 2,000 of my videos are still held on YouTube in private, which is really interesting. We talked about this with James Corbett on his Goodbye YouTube show. Seems like it's not very new, and there's something very weird going on there. But that's gone. My backup channel is still apparently there, but I am locked out at a Google level, so I can't log into the account, I can't comment, I can't do anything. The only reason it's streaming right now on YouTube is because Restream.io still had a back-end connection sent before they removed it. Now, why they're not taking that away, or I don't know, maybe they can't. Maybe Restream doesn't allow them to. I don't know, but it's still pushing through. Nonetheless, there's still videos that are being censored, and I find it to be incredibly funny, the way that it's happening, the way that I'll show you something even more humorous in a minute, but I just wanted to show you these so people know, first of all, these are some informational points that you guys really need to see if you haven't, and make sure you share these out with people if, you know, you think it's important to them. This is one that was just censored. This is warp speed and common pass escalate under cover of election chaos, even as the need for both disappears. Now, this is all, as always, factual information. The other one is CDC flips again, claiming masks work both ways, and the voting machine fraud goes deeper than you think. Of course, in this, we're actually citing the CDC and what they say. Now, that because that apparently violates the World Health Organization, they censored me, but I guess they're not censoring the CDC, even though that's their claim that we're pointing to. But of course, we got these in regard to warp speed. But here's the point, as this is on just one platform. Here's it on Odyssey, almost 5,000 views. Take the time, watch it. If you haven't, share it out. Realize that we don't need YouTube anymore. The only reason I'm even continuing to put it there is because the people that are still lost on this platform need to see this stuff, because that's the whole point of what we're doing. We're reaching people that are lost. Here's the other one in regard to CDC. This is actually what you're seeing when you go to look at it. And then here is the actual clip on BitChute. Another 5,000 views on BitChute. Now remember, all these are on BitChute, Odyssey, all the different platforms, getting 2, 4, 5, 10,000 views respectively on different places. This one is very important that I hope you will watch about the CDC flipping, and it's going to be even more relevant in regard to today. But as I just wanted to show you, because I just, you know, of course, you know, I'm going to poke the bear, because I need people to see and understand this is not me trying to get something from them. I honestly don't even know if YouTube turned around and said, hey, here's your channel back, if I would even want it back. I would probably keep posting because, again, the same point, I want people to see it who are lost. But I am really on another page today. I'm along with a lot of people, like we talked about on Corbett's show, this is changing. They see it. They feel the shift happening. And so I just had to do this because I want people to continue to see what they really are. Now, here's what's funny. They censored it, and I just said the same thing. What's wrong? Didn't like my sourced NIH random controlled trials I linked to? I guess those are not allowed, fake news? Or was it the mainstream media articles from 2008 forward discussing voting machines and how corrupted they are by politically charged companies, yet they're all claiming the opposite today? Is that fake news? Apparently, it's fake news when you challenge what the media apparatus is saying today, even if you show their own things that they said before. This is why YouTube is dead, why they're broken. Here was the point that I thought was humorous to start. I got an email today about the backup channel. What do you know? I broke 10,000 subscribers. Hooray. And of course, at the bottom, you can see you're our hero, the team, the YouTube team. Oh, isn't that kind? Well, of course, I couldn't just let that go. Oh, shucks. I'm your hero? Thanks, YouTube. So does this mean that you'll uncensor all the factually and fully sourced videos of mine that you are currently hiding from all of your users? Or will you carry on censoring one of your heroes? Cowards, because that's what they are. They're cowards. YouTube is dead. Hashtag boycott YouTube. I just wanted to make this point because it's kind of fun for me to continue to point out how these people are they're flailing, it seems. People are going away from them. Anyway, nonetheless, the point is people are still subscribing anyway, and even they will tell me, hey, good job on your 10,000 subscribers as they censor my content. The point being, guys, to be kind of start with a funny note, just because it's funny to watch that, this is changing in a dramatic way. And it's time for us to get on board and start finding other locations. Odyssey right now is a really good one. Rockfin is a good one. We have BitChute, which has always been a contender. Time to go elsewhere. Starting with the election discussion. Of course, didn't you hear? 2020 was the most secure in the U.S. history, officials say. Well, isn't that good? Don't we feel better now? It says a coalition of state and federal officials pushed back against President Trump's claims of widespread election fraud, saying, you know, and they frame it as being Trump, right? Trump said. Not half of this country, but Trump said, saying they have no evidence ballots were compromised and saying the election was the most secure in American history. Well, you'll notice as you go through this very short article, they don't really say who they is. Isn't that funny? Of course, they're willing to say, officials say, they say, and then just never tell you who they or officials are. You know why? Because they built this in this media propaganda machine to a point to where they just need to say, authority said so. And you're supposed to go, uh-huh, okay. Oh, authority, okay, well, then I'm supposed to nod my head. That's how this is. Officials say, you're supposed to go along with it. It says, well, we know there are, it doesn't mean it's inherently wrong, but it means that they don't care whether it's right or wrong. Their job is to get you to go along with what authorities tell them to say. While we know there are many unfounded claims and opportunities of misinformation for misinformation about the process of our elections, we can assure you. Now, this is where you'd expect them to go, there was no fraud, which is the point of what the article is saying, except that's not what they say. They go on to say, well, we assure you that we have the utmost confidence in the security and integrity of our elections. Well, we already know that. They will gushingly exude that we have confidence, we have confidence. Doesn't mean it's actually safe. It says, and you should too. Repeat it to yourself. Oh, guess who that's coming from? The Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, otherwise known as CISA, a group that has obvious ties to obvious people that are whole discussions to be had that Whitney and I have talked about. Groups that are suspect, involved with the manipulations going on right now with the elections, which I'll touch on more in a minute. But it says, quote, when you have questions, turn to elections officials as trusted voices as they administer elections. Right. As you mean like yourself. Oh, of course. Listen to us. That's what he's saying. Trust us. Where have we heard that before? Well, the point is not to just beat a dead horse here, but obviously we know that they want us to think it's the most secure thing in history. First of all, think of how dumb it is to say this one of all of them is the most secure in history. Like, why not just say we know it's secure? Or they're lying in any case. But now we know it's secure because we checked. But no, they have to go over the top because that's what they do. The most secure in U.S. history. Despite the thousand different examples of obvious manipulation. But who cares? The point to show you this is, look, here they are saying, pointing to officials that we can't name, that you don't get to hear from, that you don't get a picture or a name or a location or a job description. No, officials say, well, here's an actual official. So when they are telling you that there is definitely fraud, and this is the Federal Election Commission telling you this, and then here's the New York Post saying, no, it's not, officials say, what do we do? Do we please eventually realize that people are lying to you on every side of this argument? Check out what this guy has to say.
On this election.
Actually, let me see if this is better. I believe this should be better. Let's see. In regard to the sound, I've been toying with this here. Okay. Nah, it looks like it's going to take a minute. I'm just going to go back to the way it was. I'm still working out some of the kinks on in regard to StreamYard versus the other platform. There's ways you can make the audio a little bit better, but just for continuity here, I'll do that on a different time. So let's get back to the show. All right. So here, let me know if the sound is it too low. Let me know what you're hearing here.
I do believe that there's voter fraud on this election. I do believe that there's voter fraud taking place in these places. Otherwise, they would allow the observers to go in. When you have claims of, 10,000 people who don't live in the state of Nevada, having voted in Nevada, you have the video showing where people are, they're either duplicating a 20-hat ballot right there, or they're in the process of just marking a ballot that came in blank. For a voter. That's a process that needs to be observed by election observers. State law allows those observers to be in there. And if they're not, then the law is not being followed, making this an illegitimate election.
All right, let's go back to that video if we can. The video we're watching there, if he's filling out the ballot on the top right there, so this would be fraud on this election.
So it's pretty clear. Just listen.
I believe that there's voter fraud taking.
So this is the Federal Election Commission, right? The chairman. And he's saying that he thinks that there's voter fraud. So can we just put this behind? I mean, I think it's frustrating. The problem today is just like every situation we get after we get past an election, when people are completely brainwashed by the two-party illusion, that when I say something like, oh, here he is saying there's voter fraud, that translates to half the people in this country that I'm a Trump supporter, because they're too caught in the illusion of the two-party system to realize that that's not even close to what that means. That in fact, what it ultimately means is I'm simply saying that I think there's voter fraud. And I think that Trump and Biden are both corrupt politicians that are trying to steal and rob you blind. The point is that people can't get past that two-party stuff. So they can't realize that the whole thing is the problem. The point is there's obvious voter manipulation, and it happens every single year, as I keep telling you, as I've continued to look at. But I just think it's really ridiculous that we can be staring, making sure, okay, that we can be staring at these kind of things where they're saying, no, they said it's the most secure in history. But then they just, I guess, forgot to mention that the chairman of the Federal Elections Commission is openly stating that he believes that there's manipulation. I mean, and of course, he includes Wolf Blitzer, who just, check out the front page of New York Times. Election officials nationwide find no fraud. What? Does he not count? Or are they just ignoring that? Like, this is the moment when even people who don't like Donald Trump need to go, okay, New York Times, did you not hear from the Federal Election Commission chairman? Or did you not recognize him? Did you not ask him what he thought? Or do you just ignore what he's saying? You're not journalists. None of them are journalists when they're intentionally omitting one part of the story. Now, does this mean that Trump's side didn't commit some kind of voter fraud or didn't act in some ways that were very manipulative? I find that almost impossible to believe. And I've said that from the very beginning. So as soon as we can recognize the faults on both sides of the two-party illusion, maybe, just maybe, we can change this broken, decrepit system that continues to elect criminals. Just maybe. Now, okay, on to the point in regard to this interesting topic that's been swirling around, specifically in regard to Dominion voting, but about an interesting company, which I believe is pronounced Sickle. I thought I had it correctly. SCYTL. It's a very interesting name. But this is coming out today as if the story is that the U.S. government has seized servers that they claim are connected to Dominion voting. But this story is very, first of all, I can't even verify whether this even happened. And it seems that there's a lot to suggest that this is just more Q style MAGA manipulation, which we've seen thousands of examples, which I've already shown you since this, even just since the election started, where they put out fake information about things that weren't really about what they said they were, or whole stories about one news wire or whatever that was from Associated Press posting all this information. Oh, where'd that go? Oh, that turned out to be fake. That was spread by a lot of people that were aggressively pro-Trump, people that were supporting, like, main blue check MAGA people on Twitter were pressing stuff like this. And here we are with exactly that point. George Papadopoulos pushing this idea. Now, I'm not saying I know for sure this is fake, but I think this is wildly undefined and unverified at this point. And I'll show you why, if I had to pick, I do think this seems to be not real. But I'll give you all the information for you to look for yourself. But the ultimate point is it has yet to really come out all the way yet. Congressman Louis Gohmert has stated that U.S. Army has seized servers in Dominion in Germany, which, by the way, that's just flat out not true. I'll show you exactly what he said. Now, this means either that George is spreading what he wants the truth to be, so he's hoping it's true, so he's lying for his truth, as we keep pointing out in the two-party illusion, or he actually thought that's what it said, or he just heard somebody else say it, tweeted it out. In any case, you're not doing anybody a service by not doing your due diligence, which is what everybody does in this whole thing. Now, here is what we're seeing. U.S. Army seized servers in Germany tied to Dominion voting system. Now, this is from 6 hours ago. The Gateway Pundit put it out yesterday, but it says earlier today, Louis Gohmert has confirmed on Newsmax, that's not true, that a software company called, I don't even know how you would say that. Skytle, I guess we'll go with, I'll say Skytle so it's not some kind of copyright issue. But so Skytle has been improperly collecting the election data through Spain, was raided by a large U.S. Army force, and its servers, were seized in Germany. Now, what their this whole thing rests on what Louis Gohmert said, right? That's even what he's retweeting. Now, I'm going to show you exactly what he said, which is what George should have done, or he did and didn't care. But clearly, all he is saying is that he saw something that he was shown that suggests this is happening. No joke. That's exactly where it is. This is just as bad as U.S. government propaganda about foreign policy. And yes, that's coming from the MAGA side at this point. But don't let that fool you into thinking that they're not all the same. Left and right, all part of the same government illusion. Now, the point was to just jump to this one, which is where I believe it really comes from. Gateway Pundit, not a shock to me, to be completely honest. Did the U.S. to give them their due credit, they do put here that they refuted the claims and they're not stating it. They're asking it. But of course, the article leans an obvious direction. Did the U.S. raid European software company Skytle and seize their servers in Germany? Now, this didn't say it. That's what it said at first. Then they update this and it says they reportedly refuted the claims, which again, I'll show you because, you know, I'm always going to have the full picture as best I can for you. I'll show you all the sides of the argument, including what they're claiming. Now, it does say earlier today, same thing, Representative Louie Gohmert told Chris Salcido on Newsmax, Salcido, that people on the ground in Germany report that. See, good for this, again, very stark difference between what this site's doing and what Gateway Pundit is doing. And that's, I would argue that's the right way to put that, because he's saying that he heard, he told people on the ground in Germany report that he told him on Newsmax that people on the ground in Germany reported that Skidel, which hosts election data improperly through Spain, was raided by a large U.S. Army force and their servers were seized in Frankfurt. Now, in regard to this claim about improperly hosting in Spain, and this is something that's been kicked along from these articles, this is coming from a source. I have yet to see why that's being stated. That doesn't mean it's not true. Just being giving you full disclosure here. There's a lot flying around that nobody's choosing to actually verify. Now, of course, it went viral, obviously. An unsourced, unclaimed thing he heard about something. Of course that goes viral in today's ridiculous scenario, because it's only about things we can't prove, right? You know what should be going viral? Leaked information from WikiLeaks to prove our government's lying to us. No, that isn't in its own way. But in regard to how things go viral today, it's odd. That's always stuff that's like this. But it says Andrea Winberg, an American thinker, earlier reported that Skidel is a Barcelona-based company that provides electronic voting systems worldwide, which many of which have proven vulnerable to electric manipulation. Yeah, you mean like all of them all the time? Yes. And again, I have three clips, I believe, I'm going to be putting out from my past videos that I've been doing about all of this, showing you this is not new. It's constantly happening, whether we're talking about the voting machine manipulation or the fact that there's voter fraud in regard to people being dead and so on. Every single election, every one, we see this. Now, it says Skidel has or had Soros and Democrat Party connections, which is really flimsy. I'm telling you right now, I mean, it's not that it's something that doesn't mean something, you shouldn't remember it, but this is the kind of thing where we're seeing like he donated to somebody who works with them or on the board. And it's just this, you know, it's obviously important to think about as always, but these feel like a stretch at this point. Microsoft, I mean, my personal opinion, I think Dominion themselves are far, far more relevant than what this is, but you know, maybe I'm wrong and maybe this will flesh out. As it stands, I'm not feeling too confident about it. Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen's Vulcan Capital has invested $40 million I think what's important here is that we have so many ties to just voting machines, voting, you know, software tied back to a very small grouping of people. Microsoft, importantly, is always tied to these. Remember that Microsoft these days is based out of Israel. And we know that a lot of these companies, the voting machines, the voting software, they tie back to the Israeli government, specifically their intelligence. We've already covered all of this. So that's interesting. But it says, tonight we learn from our source that Bill Gates also owns stock. Now, this is interesting because I haven't been able to independently show this, but I do see it being repeated a lot. And regardless, I don't find it to be that shocking that Gates would be invested in probably every possible voting manipulation tool they can. That doesn't surprise me at all. But it says from our source, and this is what I find so interesting. And this is the kind of stuff that you can't, this is the bulk of it. This is the big weight. And it's all just from an unnamed source that they're giving from Gateway Pundit. And to be honest, I don't have a lot of faith in their unnamed sources. But as it says, weirdly, this is how it starts. It says the U.S. government, comma, once they determined that the Dominion server was involved in switching votes, comma, then the intelligence community began to search for the server and discovered that the server was in Germany, period. That is a horribly written sentence. Doesn't mean it's fake, but it's usually not a good sign when you've got like a, I don't know, like a junior high level. I mean, that's a bad sentence and it doesn't make sense. Now, maybe there's something that was before that, which makes it make more sense. First thing that stood out to me, it says in order to get access to that server and have it available for its use in legal manner, they had to have the State Department work in tandem with the, these are all just a bunch of claims. Basically, they go on to say that the U.S. military supported the operation based on nothing, based on what this person's saying. Could be real. I'm not feeling it. Trump attorney Lynn Wood weighed in saying Biden and his criminal cronies are not going to sleep well tonight, right? This is all just a bunch of hype, which could be true, but I find to be very skeptical about stuff like this because Q has done stuff like this from the very beginning where they come out and they go, there's going to be tribunals and people are going to get arrested. And of course they catch their occasional politician that kind of chimes in and states things just like this. And it doesn't happen. What happened to Clinton? Is she in jail? What happened to all these different people? What happened to trusting Sessions? What happened to all these different things that have come and gone and we just forget? Something about this seems off to me. Now, before we even get to the claim of the company saying very clearly that none of that's true at all, and here's the proof, let's listen to what he has to say. Now, remember, this is being floated based on what this one guy said, which started all of this, and then Gateway Pundit adds that they've got a secret source that they can't show you, which could be true.
Saying that on Monday, U.S. Army forces went into Seidel and grabbed their server.
Seidel. I guess it's Seidel.
There's some that believe this is the U.S. intelligence.
Some believe that this is U.S. intelligence.
Manipulated all this in order to cover their own rear end.
Oh, I think I had to start in the middle here. Let's listen from the beginning.
I might share one more thing. Sunday, I had information from some of our former intel people.
So not people that are not currently intel people, like, you know, officially.
That there was extremely compelling evidence that could be gleaned from Seidel.
Compelling evidence that could be gleaned from Seidel. So meaning that you don't have full access to it, right? So you're basically, you're gleaning information from something coming from them, from people who are not currently intelligence.
S-C-Y-T-L. That's a company headquartered in Barcelona, Spain, that was responsible for aggregating all the information from all the machines and whatnot.
Which is important. I mean, that's a choke point. That's a really important thing to think about.
But now the main headquarters had moved to Frankfurt. You know, Frankfurt, where Merkel in Germany has said the day after the election that Trump needed to go ahead and concede. Well, they're going through bankruptcy, but...
Which, you know, that stands out a little bit right there. What does that have to do with anything? Like, are you implying that Merkel, because she asked him to succeed when he technically shouldn't be because it hasn't been ruled on, means that because it's in that same location, that means sus? That's a really broad thing to say.
That information as to how many votes were switched from Republican for Democrat...
Which, by the way, I think is almost undeniable at this point, which doesn't mean it wasn't. I mean, as always, there's endless examples of this. But the ones that seemed the most obvious were when we saw they already came out with their fact check, which is always the most flimsy effort, saying that only one of them. And it was the one in Pennsylvania. It was explainable because of this one crazy thing that happened here. Except it happened in at least three locations, and of course, they don't acknowledge that. I saw at least three examples of votes flipping with the exact amount, right? Where it went away from Trump and went to Biden in the exact amount in the exact same moment. Three times in different locations, it's just ridiculous. Cheating happened. I am absolutely convinced of that. But again, it's not new, as I've shown you before. It happens all the time. And it's not to argue that Trump should be elected or Biden should be elected. I think the whole thing is moot and all of them are trying to steal from you. I wouldn't be surprised if Trump was involved with this whole political theater show. But at the end of the day, is to show that it did happen. And so here in this case, it seems to be this interesting. Now, just let it keep going. I feel like, in a way, this whole story is meant to pull you away from things that are much more obvious.
It's been easily established from the information that Seidel gathered, and what were the votes going in, and which ones were changed going out. And he said,
overall, so far, he's saying that they have information that could tell us that, not if they did, not when they did.
And you should send me exactly the information we need to gather. And so I got that information and sent it in the wee hours Monday morning. And before he would have had a chance to make a request to get any of that information, it turns out that I don't know the truth. I know that there was a German tweet.
I don't know the truth. I know there was a German tweet
in German saying
in German
that on Monday, U.S. Army forces went into Seidel and grabbed their server.
So an unconfirmed, unofficial tweet in German said that happened. That's the basis for this. Now, I'm not even saying Louis Gohmert. He's just mentioning this. What's happened is who the people that have grabbed onto this and ran with it as if it's something, and it could be. But it seems like a lot of hype that we usually feel around some of these very pro one side narrative manipulations, especially since suddenly one group goes, yes, and I've got a secret source that confirms it all, which happens quite a bit in this whole process.
Some that believe this is the U.S. intelligence that manipulated all this.
Some that believe that.
In order to cover their own rear ends. But it's a little disturbing.
Which is interesting. You could argue it goes either way, right? It could be them, if that's the case, it could be them going in to cover up their manipulations. Or there's on the more hopeful side, you've got people on Trump's side arguing, this is the DOJ and they're doing it. They got the proof and it's all going to come down, right? Based on wishful adult fairy tale thinking. Could be true, but there's nothing to make to suggest that that is what's happening.
To just contemplate how corrupt the government has gotten with the whole Russia hoax,
yep,
the framing of Mike Flynn, and so many
a lot of different examples. Our government's broken.
So this is a both sides time though. For our country.
Okay, and let's jump to the next one. This one's shorter. This is the one they tend to reference. This is Newsmax. Now it looks like this one was November 13th. This one was the next day. So here's the one they keep referencing.
Election, he needed to just give up. But Seidel... That's a place where all of this information was cycling through. Not supposed to, but it was. And actually, there was a German that, as I was told, there was a tweet in German from Germany.
As I was told, right? That's even different than the last time.
That the U.S. Army had gone in and seized the Seidel server. They're going through bankruptcy right now. So there's all kinds of games being played, and I had suggested that the president might get information from Seidel, and the next day before, and I sent him specifics that he needed to get that would show a lot of fraud, and the next day before that information could be gotten, somebody ordered the U.S. Army, according to the tweet, to go in and seize the server. There are people involved inside the government that have been trying to take this president down, State Department.
So it's just a bunch of hypothetical discussion. Again, it does not mean it didn't happen. But the kind of the kind of emphasis that's being put on something like this is just, even the fact that I have to, but that I am covering it and talking about it is taken away from the other things we're going to talk about next that I find to be wildly more important. Right. But this is one politician who's saying he was told about a tweet that was in German that suggested something happened in regard to a company that might have information about what might have happened. That's the story, guys. That is incredible. This is the problem with where we are right now. Now, I want to say for the 14th time, that doesn't mean that it's not true. But the point is, if we're actually going to be honest with ourselves, with everybody else, whether you're a journalist or a researcher or just an average person, you need to do your due diligence to just share these things as fact, you know, like somebody like Papadopoulos, just straight up stating, and flat out saying that's not what he said. He did not say they see servers. He said that he was told about a tweet that was in Germany, it was in German, that said that that's what happened. Quite a bit different, don't you think? Crazy. But to the point, here is what Skytel, I believe that's what he was saying, here's what they have to say about it. Now, just because they said this doesn't mean it's true. Maybe they're covering up the whole big story, and this is the real story is what Gohmert said. But at the end of the day, you have to hear both sides and consider the full picture and ask yourself what makes the most sense. Come to your own conclusions. Here's what they're saying. This is on November 13th. This is following the several erroneous statements that have been published in digital and social media. Skytel would like to clarify the following. The technologies implemented by Skytel in the U.S. are both hosted and managed within the U.S. by a local subsidiary based in Tampa, Florida. Okay, so doesn't even make sense in regard to the Germany point so far. We do not tally or count votes in the U.S. Now, I'm not taking this at face value. Again, just reading it for the time being and considering it as if it's true. I just laugh that I have to go through these painstaking explanations because of how quickly people are like, oh, he hates Trump or he loves Trump or whatever. Just listen, people, listen. We do not tally or count votes in the United States. So they say we do not provide voting machines in the United States, which I don't think anyone is. Yeah, I mean, things like, for instance, like people like the Papadopoulos are seemingly blending this together as if they're voting machine. They're not. They work in regard to, I mean, Gohmert made it very clear in regard to the data, but it says we did not provide online voting to U.S. jurisdictions for the U.S. election. We do not have servers or offices in Frankfurt. What? That's okay. Like, that would be a very easy thing to prove. The point is that these, as far as I can tell, these are all true statements. The U.S. Army has not seized anything from Skydul in Barcelona, Frankfurt, or anywhere else. We are not owned by George Soros and never have been connected to him. Right. So what's happening is hold on. I'll say it in a second. We are not tied to Smartmatic. That's what it is. SGO, Dominion, or Indra. We have no ties with Russia either. Now, it doesn't mean that any of those are true, but the point is that the connection to Smartmatic that has, as I've shown you, that has Lord Moloch Brown, who is weirdly now, his page has been deleted from Smartmatic, which is totally normal in the midst of all this. Of course, not like you're hiding anything, but he's the chairman of Smartmatic, and he is very clearly connected to George Soros' Open Society Foundation. He's on the board. So that's an obvious connection between George Soros and potential influence and the software that was used on the Dominion voting machines. Nuance, people. It means everything. But in this case, we have them. Now people are making this broad tie to saying that Skydul is owned by George Soros or controlled because they are being alleged to be working with this whole election process. And that makes them tied to Smartmatic, which is tied to Soros. Like this is the kind of quick, without thinking kind of connections people make. Doesn't mean it's not things you should consider, but we have to realize how quickly and easily we're being manipulated by people out there today. Now, here's another part. Patrick Howley says, busted. I have the evidence showing Dominion Voting Systems is headquartered on the same floor as Soros-funded Tides Canada Foundation. Now, right off the bat, and you'll see why this seems a bit flimsy. These aren't the kind of things that you scream out and say, busted, bombshell. The fact that, and you'll see what I mean. There's a lot of time that these people know. Look, I'm in the first person to point out that I think these groups like these entities like Soros, the Koch brothers, or whoever we're talking about, 100% are influencing elections, are manipulating outcomes, are part of trying to create the world the way they want it to be in very nefarious ways. Let's make sure that's very clear. And yes, I do think that. But in this case, we have these kind of flimsy connections that basically boil down to him giving money to a group that has someone on his board that works in the same building as this company. Now, that could mean something. But I'm just tired of these broad stretches of connections that people go, oh, you know, nice work, nailed it. It just doesn't seem to be what I think it seems to be. But as it says, I have the evidence showing Dominion, it's not evidence, it's a plain public information on the websites that Systems is headquartered on the same floor as Soros-funded Tides Canada Foundation. Tides created the Black Lives Matter Support Fund. Dominion partnered with Soros board member. That's not true. Technically, Smartmatic is the chairman, is a board member on his Open Foundation, which is working with Dominion. Not the same thing. You see how painfully they're just jumping entire points. Now, the point is the Delanian Project used Dominion voting, which is part with it worked with the Clinton initiative, the Clinton Global Initiative, which worked with these entities work together in regard to the machines and the software in regard to this election. You know, to make the, I mean, this is bending over backwards. Now, here's what it says. They share a floor. Dominion Voting Systems, in this one location, by the way, shares an office floor with what they're calling George Soros-funded Tides Foundation in Toronto. National File has learned. Why? What? Just looking at the website. That's all it took. The tipster makes clear that Soros people are very close with Dominion, which has partnered with a voting technology company chaired by one of the left-wing billionaire George Soros' best friends and associates. Okay, we're talking about Smartmatic. President Donald Trump to Joe Biden. Just to get to the point, to waste so much time on this thing. The Robertson Building's directory of tenants shows that Dominion Voting is listed as in these suites, and which places its neighborly range of Tides Canada Foundation. Okay, so Tides Foundation in America is based in San Francisco, created and financially supports Tides Canada Foundation. Okay, the Tides Foundation has reportedly quickly changed, didn't it? Oh, come on. Oh, that's why. Has reportedly received more than $20 million in donations from George Soros' groups. You see how ridiculous this gets when you just take a second? And Tide shares Soros' vision for a rat, you know, and now these people have similar ideologies, they say. Now, look, I am the first person that will continue to point out that these kind of financial ties can mean everything. But we don't just, this is a stretch. So if you actually look at the page itself, this is the point. So you can quickly and easily find right there, Tides Canada Foundation, Dominion Voting. Wow. National, like National File has learned with their extensive quick Google search from one page. You see how these things are just kind of bent into being some massive leak bombshell news story when all this is one page that just happens to show Tides Canada Foundation in the same floor, the same building as Dominion Voting. Mark it down in your mind. Think, okay, that may be relevant down the line. And then don't blend in Dominion with Smartmatic and make the ties the same for either side. I'm tired of this, guys. I know you guys watching this show are smarter than this. At the very least, not to be taken by something like this before knowing that it's actually very real. But the idea that we can say that this group reportedly got money from a group, from George Soros' groups. So not even him, but a group that he works with that maybe reportedly gave them money. And then it's in the same building as a group that has same ideological agendas. I mean, for crying out loud, I'm just, we have to be better than this, better than the mainstream media. Now, if these things end up being, you know, turning out to be exactly what they say they are, well, I'll cover it then when the evidence is around the story, not when I have a unknown secret person telling me the wink, wink, this is what it will be. Cause that turns pretty much has always turned out to be wrong. But the point is, I'm going to make a clip of this one part of the show. Of this is the CDC flips one that I just did that they already deleted, and that's probably why. Because I talk about this point. The market for the voting machines is broken. The idea that this goes way further than just this election, way further than just Dominion, because we're talking about groups like ES&S, I believe, that owns the vast majority of the market, and all of these are tied to the same people that have seemed to kind of float back and forth behind groups that are tied to things like the Clinton Global Initiative, tied to groups like George Soros, tied to things like Bill Gates and Microsoft and all of these things. And these are voting machines that have been used over and over, despite the same conversation we're having now, every single time. Not conversations, but proof. Attorney generals, governors, politicians showing you, here's what happened. Here's 1,000 people that are dead who voted in this election in this county every single year. And we act like that's fake news today. Oh, it's a myth. Oh, it's a myth that it happens literally every time and that we prove it literally every time. It's insulting to our intelligence. So I'm going to remember to make this clip, probably make it about 10, 15 minutes and show you the history of these voting machines and how I went back to 2008, but you can go back even further. Clint Curtis, as I keep telling you, testified that he was paid to manipulate them. They were Diebold machines and they used the same machines the very next election. And guess what? We're still using some now. So when you get into these stretching stories about small connections, maybe there's something there, but realize that we don't need these things. There is slam dunk, hardcore, undeniable evidence from every election going back, and they just don't want you thinking about it. So they dump out stories like this. They dump out stories like this to keep you reeling about the things that aren't really going to connect. That's my take on it. I could be wrong. That happens. But I'm desperate to get people to start thinking for themselves and not be swayed by political pressure. But the sad reality is, if we can't see the fact that it's all the same thing, then it's going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to roll forward and blob over everything else because it's just going to keep growing. The two-party illusion is what's stopping us from changing anything. And as Vanessa just pointed out, not yet President Biden, because he's not even president-elect yet, considers Hillary Clinton for UN ambassador role. Hillary Clinton as a UN ambassador. Gee, that sounds fantastic. It says the array of evil in Biden's administration and COVID-19 task force should horrify any thinking human being. The future is bleak if this all comes to fruition for the gathering part of their class. Hey, and you know what? Reading that or thinking that does not mean you're pro-Trump. If that's the only thing you can think, then you're lost in the two-party paradigm. Both of these people are horrible people, whether Biden or Clinton or Trump. These are bad politicians that are leading you where we are now. Look at where we are this moment. Is that because of Biden's administration that's yet to be put in place? No, it's because of Trump's administration. It's because, of course, in those people's minds, no, it was because of the Democrats and they wouldn't let him save the world. The same thing they say about Obama still. Only if the Republicans would have let him. Oh, your broken system. That's what this is. And I, as I said, to perfectly describe that system. This country's political process is like paying to watch a never-ending carousel of war criminals and oligarchs shouting freedom and democracy as every rotation increases your suffering, all while stuffing their pockets with the money you willingly give up. The illusion of democracy. Welcome Hillary Clinton to your U.S. and UN ambassador democracy force, right? Freedom. Horrible. Now let's jump over to COVID-19. There's a lot to get in here with COVID-19. Now, I hope I wasn't too dismissive or too, you know, frustrated about the first couple things, because those things, they certainly could end up turning out to be true. But as always, you're here to get my outlook on it, my perspective, hopefully to then come to your own conclusions. And I very strongly feel that those things are not going to be what we think they are. Or at the very least, there's more to this story that is building, and it's not time to jump down that hole until we have everything we need. Exactly like we saw with COVID-19, right? That we got lied to, we got screamed at, they said, you're in danger, everybody go inside, wear your mask, you have to do what you're told, because you're all gonna die. But that turned out not to be true. Not even the idea that, you know, this is something that we should be afraid of, but the fact that the numbers, hands down, 100%, well, that's confusing. Hands down, absolutely, we're wrong. By a lot. Does anybody disagree with that? I think we all know that that's the truth, right? They were wrong. Okay, so as this person is pointing out, and rightly so. So let me get this straight. All the projections were wrong, because all the assumptions were wrong. But we still can't go outside because the people who were wrong said so? Is that about right? Yeah, that's exactly right. Of course, because, you know, we're supposed to do what we're told, right? As I believe I'm jumping ahead here, because that's the name of the day, or the story of the day, right? Now is the time to do what you're told, as Dr. Fauci wants us to believe.
So are there countries that there are countries that seem to be doing well that weren't doing so. Are there countries now that hold up as models for, you know, pretty good response to this?
You know, the answer is yes, but
yes, and then we're not going to address that Sweden and everybody else is light years ahead and still living their lives and they haven't destroyed the economy.
Right now, it seems that every country is suffering.
Yeah. You see how they just kind of skip past that? No, they're not suffering. Sweden is not suffering. See, they continue to point to cases that are rising because of PCR tests that are not actually testing what they think they are. And regardless, it's only about as severe as the flu, according to the CDC information, according to the World Health Organization information, despite the fact they'll censor me for not going along with what World Health Organization guidelines, despite the fact that I'm sourcing the World Health Organization and what they're saying. Work that one out for you a second, which is ridiculous. But it's very, very clear. This is not what we were told. We are being lied to in every single possible way. And now he's just saying, do what you're told. Go back inside.
Often compared.
The point was Sweden, in regard to the idea that Sweden is very clearly not, they did not destroy everything. Right? They keep saying all the cases are rising because of the test that's giving them false positives. But the point is that Sweden didn't destroy their economy. They didn't shut down everything. So people are still existing. So even if you want to argue that they've got worse numbers, which doesn't even mean what people think it means, to be completely honest, of course, you know, the deaths are basically non-existent, regardless of whether cases are going up. The point is that their economy is functioning. That people still have their small businesses. That people still have their regular businesses. That people still have what they need. And they're going to movies and going to the park and going to the lake and walking and doing what they want. But see, they don't want you to hear all of that. All they want you to do is take an arbitrary number of Sweden, compare it to a location that they argue is better, and then go, look, Sweden's doing really bad. While they destroy your business, won't let you go outside, force you to wear a mask, and claim that we are living in a free society, while Sweden gets to do whatever they want because they're at least leaps and bounds at this point in time, much more free than we are.
With countries that are not comparable to us.
See?
They're not a little.
And this is what I keep hating, or keep getting frustrated about. Death percentage, right? The percentage of death, the morbidity, the death rate, the infection fatality rate, that is a percentage. So it does not matter whether we're talking about when you're comparing general countries to each other, the percentage is exactly that. It's a percentage. It's not about per capita. Fauci knows that. He's not stupid. They just know the best way to trick the average person who maybe doesn't fully understand why that's different.
Island of 5 million people that we can shut off. We're not a country that would accept if a ruler tells us you must do this.
Ah, so what we need is people to do what they're told, right? So he's what he's saying there is that a place where a ruler can just tell them to do what they want, that is the best case scenario for fighting a pandemic, or at least better than where we are. Don't get it wrong. That's what he's saying right there.
People that we can shut off. We're not a country that would accept if a ruler tells us you must do this. I was talking.
Even though that's exactly what's happening, by the way. Let's not forget that either. That's exactly what's happening. You mandates, you have to wear a mask because we say so. You have to go inside because we say so. How is that different? Oh, because we lie to ourselves and say we don't live in a place like that. Got it.
With our UK colleagues just today, who were saying the UK is very similar to where we are now in outbreak because each of our countries have that independent spirit, but we don't want to be told.
Oh, an independent spirit. Oh, you mean like constitutional rights? it's not a tangible thing we can express as rights that cannot be infringed. No, it's just a spirit, you know, a kind of intangible, nebulous thing that we can't define. That's what your free spirit is, something that's just in the way. There's a reason they're describing it like this.
Please have that independent spirit, but we don't want to be told what to do. Well,
you can't tell us what to do. That's the point. You see how they're just kind of slowly segueing into the idea that we just have to get past these legacy ideas. You know, those old archaic concepts of freedom. We got to get rid of those because they're stopping us from doing what we need to do.
I understand that, but now is the time to do what you're told. And I think it really is.
Oh, that's so funny. It's so fun. Right. Let's just make sure you heard that properly.
To do what you're told. And I think it really.
Right. Is anybody confused about how they perceive all of this? We are a bunch of children that aren't listening. And they're the adults, the smart ones that know what needs to happen. And we need to just start doing what we're told. And if we do what we're told, well, then everything will go back to better. No, because that's clearly not what's happening. There's numerous places around the world that did exactly what they were told. Highest mask use per capita, highest lockdowns, and some of the worst places on the planet right now. And there's a reason for that, guys. There's a reason for that. It's because the lockdowns are clearly causing dramatic issues. And we're going to get to that more in a minute. Even the CDC now admitting that it's causing pretty dramatic psychological problems for children. But who cares? We're going back to lockdown anyway, because that's just a side effect. This is where we are. Now realize that, yes, as he's saying, projections were wrong, assumptions were wrong, and we're still blindly listening. There's a reason these things weren't just wrong, but are continuing to be lied to us about. Now, this is in regard to something that was weirdly, you know, glitched out on the show while I was showing you last time. This is from November 13th. I want you to be very clear about this. COVID view. This is something I need to make sure. People seem to be dismissing how important this is. It says the percentage of deaths due to pneumonia, influenza, and COVID-19, even its own little acronym now, PIC, pneumonia, influenza, COVID-19. So they're combining these three things and then saying, well, those increased during the first 3 weeks of October. Now, let me ask you this. Would COVID have increased during those 3 weeks if they weren't combined with pneumonia and influenza? I can almost guarantee you not. Because if the numbers are where they are, with, you know, not really being that severe, as it were, if you removed what were obviously things that were already there, pneumonia and influenza, then it would be much, much less. So it's very clear to me that when you combine these three things, just like when John Rappaport used to write about how they would combine pneumonia with flu in the past to make the flu look more severe. This is not new, guys. And they'll make some argument about why they combine them, even though they haven't acknowledged this. They'll say, oh, well, it's because, you know, it's about they're all secondary actions because of COVID. Well, so some of them may be. But now we're just broadly combining all of them. That's not okay, guys. And this is why these things are looking more severe. It says both COVID-19 related hospitalizations and PIC, so all of them, the mortality for pneumonia, flu, and COVID-19 for the most recent weeks may increase. May. They always end like this. May. They may increase. Real hopeful, don't you think? Those may increase. Well, of course they may increase. Well, they also may decrease, but they don't ever say both. But the point here, which I find really interesting, is that when you scroll down, you'll notice something. I believe that was, oh, so here, hold on, before I make sure I'm not jumping ahead. Right, okay. Same page. Okay, so if you scroll down, you'll notice, first of all, that the flu graphic that I was trying to show you the other day? Well, it's just glitching out. You know, what a quirky coincidence. Just not working suddenly. Or really, to be more specific, the IP address could not be found, meaning that it's gone. And weirdly, right after they tell us that they will no longer be counting the flu, right? Due to ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, this system will suspend data collection for the entire season of 2021 influenza. And then, but then we're still going to blend those numbers in with COVID-19 and not make that clear to people. Does this seem like an honest progress, honest progression? Not at all. But as this is gone, before we even jump to that next part, I want to show you mortality surveillance, which I find really revealing. This says, based on death certificate data, which right off the bat, remember, we already talked about this, how these death certificates have been manipulated. We've talked, Dr. Jensen openly admitted and showed us the documentation for why you got more in more, the hospital received more money for a COVID death and even more money if they died after being intubated, which we know was killing like 90% of people that were getting them, and they're still using them and we're still producing them. Good times. But just realize off the bat, based on death certificate data, means that these are things that have been written down if people died with numerous symptoms in a certain location or got a test and then died of a car accident. And we've already admitted all of these. They've already said them. So just being based on the death certificate data is not something that we should think is completely a full picture. But then it says the percentage of deaths attributed to pneumonia, influenza, or COVID-19 for week 45 was 8.9. These are the numbers they're using and reporting as COVID-19. But they're telling you right there, the deaths. So the death numbers that they're using and pushing out to the world and saying the deaths are on the rise, well, that includes pneumonia and influenza. Now, I'm jump right back to this, but remember, even according to the CDC, every year, between 12,000 and 61,000 people die just from influenza. It's right there. Okay, that's since 2010. Just influenza alone. So if we're staring at this and realizing that the numbers aren't even close to that as it were now, what does that mean? I think you're getting what it means. The percentage of deaths attributed to those three things combined was, oh my gosh, an increase. Uh-oh. And it says the weekly percentage of deaths due to PIC declined. So even when they're combining pneumonia and influenza with COVID-19, we still have weeks where it goes down. That's incredible. But it says that from the second peak at the end of July through mid-September, so it kept going down, remained approximately stable for the week after that, and then the end of October 3rd increased just a little bit. You know what that is? That's a way to make it sound like it's going up when really what you just described was a downward trend. So it's continuing to go down, which is what I kept telling you. It says data for the most recent 2 weeks currently show a decline. Yep. But percentages for recent weeks will likely increase. You see what I'm saying? This is what I said this just a second ago. Likely increase is more death certificates processed. Why? Isn't it possible that it could decrease because nobody's dying? Well, of course not, because that's the point. They're going to increase because we're telling you they're going to increase because that's the point. Why would they even write that? What it should say is data for the most recent 2 weeks currently show a decline, but percentages for the recent weeks might change based on new data. That's what an honest thing would say. But it says percentages might change in recent weeks will likely increase as more death certificates are perceived, because that's the point. It says weekly mortality surveillance data include a combination of machine coded and manually coded causes of death collected from deaths. So not only the certificates, but then the people are entering those in, which could be obviously manipulated or wrong or mistakes or any number of things which aren't included or thought of ever. But I want you to think about what this shows you here. Okay. So look, the black lines at the bottom are both epidemic threshold and seasonal baseline. Right now, this arbitrary epidemic threshold, or really pandemic is what we should be talking about, is right now, based on the U.S. government's own assessment of what pandemics look like before this started, this thing is a 2 or lower. I've already shown you this. Del Bigtree did a whole show on it. They made a pandemic color-coded threat list before COVID-19 started, or whatever you want to think this is. Right now, based on the numbers that they're telling us, this thing is barely even a level 2. And yet they're still screaming that it's a pandemic. Does that make sense to anybody? It only makes sense when you realize that they need this to be there because they're using this to control you. But it says the red line is the percentage of deaths due to, it says it right there, PIC. Okay, right up on top. It says pneumonia, influenza, COVID-19 mortality. Anybody still confused? They're combining the three things and using that as the overall, the mortality number for COVID-19. So that's one thing. And that's a really big deal because that is what it's going to guarantee that this looks three times as bad, right? If potentially 60,000 people die from influenza every year, well, you could add 60,000 to whatever COVID already was. That's a no-brainer, guys. Pneumonia on top of that is a lot more. I mean, I might as well just do it real quick. Here, 2019. Of course, this is probably impossible to find because of the fact that they want this to be difficult. Maybe not. I find that to be interesting. So it says percentage. Okay, right here. Number of visits to emergency room, number of deaths. There we go. Okay, so now we've got 50,000. 47,956 for those on the podcast. Well, let's just say 50 to round it out. So that's 110,000 additional deaths from pneumonia by itself. I'll keep this one so you guys can see that too. That's an important one, actually. So 110,000 from pneumonia and flu added on to whatever we're getting from COVID-19. Okay, so keep that number in your mind. 110,000 from the year, right? So that's a general, and let's just say a high estimate from pneumonia and flu from a normal year or from a high year from before COVID-19, okay? 110,000. So here we are looking at the entire year, because you can see at the bottom here, 2019, 2020, and that's supposed to represent, the yellow is supposed to represent the influenza numbers by themselves, which just doesn't even seem to make sense based on the numbers that we literally just read from the CDC website, right? I mean, guys, just recognize how backward all of this is. This is the CDC, right? It's right here on the CDC website. Disease burden of influenza. Now it says 12,000 to 61,000 deaths annually, right? Okay. Does that look like even 12,000? No, it doesn't. They've got that below 2,000. Anybody want to explain that? I can explain it. It's because they need to make the flu look really small in this graph so it looks like it has nothing to do with COVID-19 deaths. That's very dishonest. I mean, it's just things like this that just blow me away. Here's the CDC. And they don't make sense together. Interesting. Anyway, I could keep beating that dead horse. But back to the point that's obviously wrong, where they're saying, oh, look, you've got, what, like 1,000 deaths from the flu? But the point being is in the entire year here, what are we looking at? 18,000. Now, this is just one part of the year, right? One little spike. Looks like about 20 weeks. Okay, but that's 18, 8, 12, 6, 8, right? What are we not even close to? We're not even close to the 110,000 that comes alone from flu and pneumonia, right? So doesn't that seem to suggest that our mortality numbers are lower than they might be from a normal influenza and pneumonia year? Now, this is just based on a graph that CDC put on their website. I'm not saying I know this as a matter of fact. Their information seems to be wrong every other day. So we shouldn't be looking at any of this and going, that means what it means. We need to realize that they are lying to us. That's the takeaway. Very, very, very clearly. But going forward, and again, I just want you to see what this says. That's influenza has resulted in illnesses, so people getting sick, 45 million on a high note. Between 140,000 and 810,000 hospitalizations, 12,000 to 61,000 deaths. Keeping that pneumonia number in your mind, going to the next one, knowing that they stopped counting the flu. Why would they do that? Because then you wouldn't be able to have, if they were counting it and showing it to you side by side COVID, it would start to look a little interesting. So they just say, well, we're just not going to count it anymore. Very suspect. As well as the fact they go, oh, back in July, we're going to quietly just stop counting hospital capacity information. Why? Well, because the same point. If we know that we have almost, you know, getting close to 1 million hospitalizations from a normal influenza or a severe influenza season, well, if we weren't having COVID or whatever you want to think this is, and we have just the numbers we normally have from flu, well, that would obviously start to look suspicious. So they stop showing you hospital capacity. They stop counting the flu numbers and they blend it with pneumonia and they call that COVID-19. Now, here's what's interesting. I was talking about this earlier and I made the point to just kind of show you that this is seemingly gone. This weird little graph about flu. Now, interestingly enough, here's the page they have for FluView. We've seen this. This is what I tried to show you the other day when the screen froze. At the end of the show, I was trying to show. Oh, I have it right here, actually. right? So you can see in this show, this was U.S. voter fraud is not new. Now, I had it on the same page kind of thing I was talking about. You can see it says November 6th. I was going through this, and right at this page, like right after I was here, it just froze and stopped right there. And you guys will remember, it stayed on that page until the very end. Now, what I was showing you was this. Well, in fact, it was this here. But here's the page I want to show you. This flu thing is supposed to be an interactive map, but here's what happens when you click on it. Here's the page. Oh, of course it starts working now. I knew that was going to happen. I should have said it before we started, because that happens every time I do these shows. There's something weird that happens, then it pops up. But the whole day it was down. By the way, this is still down. Let me see if this refreshes and it comes back. Of course it does. I swear it's like they're watching. But anyway, the point is still the same. I just want to point out that it's odd that it was no longer there. And I was going to say, that's odd, but I found it interesting. Oh, I still had these pages up from before. So I was going to be like, oh, I still have access to it. But apparently they came back up today. Now, the point still was to show you what I found that was odd last time that you didn't get to see on the screen. Now, remember all the things we just talked about. The information being manipulated. I can just close these ones now. And that one, I'll leave that up. Okay. So the fact that they're no longer counting flu, they're stopping the hospitalization data. They're not showing you. We can see about 110,000 deaths normally from influenza and pneumonia combined from a normal year. And they're combining all these things this year into PIC. Pneumonia, influenza, COVID. Now, if you go back to the years, this is 2021. So that's right now. Okay, October 31st is when they just stopped, apparently. Now, you can see that it looks extremely low, like very, very low. Like, that's abnormally not, looks like nothing happening. Here is about right where we are right now. And you can see that it's just more severe. In and of itself, you can see that the numbers being reported then were a bit, like quite a bit more severe, almost into moderate territory, and very high when you get down to Louisiana. So first of all, realize that the numbers, the flu seems to be completely gone in regard to this season, which is obviously making the point of what we just said. It's because it's being used elsewhere. If I can get the right page, right? I think we have to see that. I think that's plain. But the other thing I found so interesting was if you go into the season, and this is what I was trying to show you the other day, look at how crazy this is. Does that look normal to anybody? And you go back every other season, it's not even close to this bad. So right in this time frame, right in December, right, like literally when this was supposed to be happening. And also, look, we're February, March. I mean, it goes on a long time past when it normally does. Look how bad that is in March 14th. Okay. Now, the point is right here, there was something happening. There was something very severe happening right down here in the South, seemingly right, you know, I mean, obviously we know that Maryland is reasonably close to there, which is, I think as it ties to, you know, Fort Detrick aspect is very important. Regardless, we're not going to see this season. All these deaths and all the manipulation and what 60,000 things that happened from the previous flu seasons, that's going to be blended with COVID-19. Can you imagine what their dark winter will turn into when they see all the flu issues and they continue? They already told you, twindemic. And that's an easy way for them to blend everything and act like it's all the same thing. It's crazy. Make sure you're actually seeing that picture, because last time I blocked it, I mean, I just find that to be incredible right there. It's just unbelievable. Look at that. Huh. But the point being is that we're being lied to, no matter what you think ultimately happened. And to take that one step further, here's from the World Health Organization. Infection fatality rate, COVID-19. Now, this is not new. It says submitted May 13th. Now, what were we being told in May about how serious this was? Do you remember? I can promise you that it wasn't 0.2 or 0.02. Right? I mean, this is how crazy it is. But you can see right here that it says 61 studies, 8 preliminary national estimates. Now, by the way, I don't for one second believe that even these numbers are correct. Because like I just told you, I think that even these numbers are based on the intentional hype and manipulation of other things. But nonetheless, remember, 3.6 is what we were told. And going back to what this guy was saying, all the wrong projections because of wrong assumptions led to fake information. So in May, they're saying 8 preliminary national estimates across 51 locations. The median, the average COVID-19 infection fatality rate was 0.2. 0.27 and it was corrected to 0.23. That's percent, 0.2%. Okay. Not 2% written as a decibel. No, that is 0.2%. Okay. So what we're talking about puts it about at a severe flu. And this is in May from the World Health Organization. Like, let's make sure that that's very clear. World Health Organization. Okay. So how can it be possible that we're in a position where this is being stated in May that puts it at about a severe flu, and yet then we get censored for months afterward for literally saying that this is about a flu, or the fact that they lied to us about how severe it was, or on and on and on. At the very, even the point that you should take away from this is that 2.2 is not enough to lock you down, make you wear masks, and force you to do what they tell you to do. That is not the case. And by the way, they couldn't do that regardless of how severe it was. They'll try. But the point is, we've established that we've got human rights today, that we have constitutional rights, that we can say, no, you're not allowed to tell me to do that, that I'm a human being with you know, agency, and I can think for myself. But that's not what's happening. Even as we stare the right numbers in the face while they're screaming about how much danger you're in. It says the rate was, this is incredible, actually. The rate was 0.09% in locations with COVID-19 population mortality rates less than the global average. Please let that sink in. So it's 2.23 average across 51 locations. Okay. The rate was actually 0.09 in locations with population mortalities that were less than the global average. 0.09%. That is the entire location. And yet these are places that are being forced to lock down, wear a mask, destroy their businesses. And then all of the just overwhelming, nonstop, continual problems that happen because of the lockdowns, because of the psychological manipulation. Crazy. That says in people under 70 years old, yes, that has to be under. I don't know why I was suddenly blanking on the, you know, lesser than, bigger than. Funny, remember that, you know, he eats the bigger one or so on. It's been so long since I remember that stuff. But looking at it, it says the infection fatality rates range from zero to 0.3, with crude and corrected medians of 0.05. So at the bottom line is if you're over 80, is just about the only scenario you have to really be in danger. Like in a general sense of the kind of danger that they're stressing. It says the inferred infection fatality rates tended to be much lower than estimates made earlier in the pandemic. This is from the World Health Organization. And here we are. I'm still being censored. My past two videos were already removed from YouTube for saying this. And guess what they're going to say when they remove this article from this video today? They're going to say just what they said here. YouTube doesn't allow content that explicitly disputes the efficacy of local health authorities or the WHO, except the fact that they've already done that when the WHO came out and said, no, we shouldn't be doing lockdowns like you are. Oh, you're fake news. But okay, it's just only when they're allowed to do it. There's no rhyme or reason, guys. It's hypocrisy. They're liars. They're lying to you. And the point is, it's not what they said. And we know that as a matter of fact. And the time is now for you to stand up and say something about it. To not go along with it. Here's the full document for you to read. Has the entire thing for you. Conclusion, the infection fatality rate of COVID-19 can vary substantially across different locations. It's not what we're being told. Now, knowing this, knowing that the World Health Organization is saying that average generally it's about 0.2, but places that are beneath that are about 0.09, and any money under 70 is about, you know, anywhere from 0 to 0.3%. Yeah, it's just simply not there. And then we know that they're blending with pneumonia and flu. And so then ask yourself, those numbers are, they're guaranteed to be lower. That's a fact. Minus 110 of the 110,000 deaths from the total number. Well, there you go. That's a really crude way to do it because it could be much less than that. Maybe only 15,000 people died from flu that year. Doesn't matter. There's a number out there that is being attributed to PIC when it's only pneumonia or only flu. And those numbers removed will absolutely lower the mortality rate, absolutely lower the infection fatality rate. It will lower these things because you're removing deaths, period. So with that being said, knowing that we're being lied to, knowing that even the World Health Organization is now telling you what we're being told we're not allowed to say, let's talk about masks again. You know, because it's something that I've clearly chosen to absolutely never give up on. It's because it's been one of the most obvious examples, in my opinion, of how clearly we're in the right. And when I say we are in the right, I mean the people that are willing to acknowledge that the science is not what they say it is. Not that we argue that masks don't do anything or that, you know, the broad other side of the argument. I feel that these things obviously have a use or a function, but they do not work in regard to transmission. They are not statistically significant in regard to reducing transmission of influenza-like illness, which would include COVID-19. That's or studies that have even done it on COVID-19 and found the same. This is the point. They do not have the effect that we're told. And then you add on to that the issues of negative health effects, which the NIH has also found, or numerous other studies have found. And add on top of that the interesting, very, very alarming addition of psychological aspects, which I think we all kind of knew were there, but this article just knocks it out of the park. The critic I was actually not very familiar with, so I'm going to have to check them out some more. Face masks make you stupid. It's probably why it didn't get spread, because it's a very contentious, and you know the title itself makes people who don't agree already, they're already gone. They would never dare read this article because they already know that that's wrong, even though they don't know that. But it says why face masks are a form of dehumanization. This is the real point here, guys. Now, he says, no, he starts off by talking about an older book that discusses the idea of livestock and how you basically use a form of culling, you know, where you cull the herd, where you pull off the most docile versions of the, you know, whether it was urochs back then or the cows today, and you use them to then breed because you want the most docile form of the animal, right? They're making that analogy in regard to the way we're being culled and manipulated by the government to produce the most docile form of our species so they can use that we're easier to manipulate. Now, if anybody thinks that's not an open discussion by people in power, then you're just completely naive today. I mean, it's plainly clear how they discuss the ideas of how to control and influence the population. But as it says, you won't disobey an order if you lack the cognitive ability to question it. And this is something they're actively trying to remedy. It says, excuse me, this is particularly pertinent to the smooth running of a modern world, a world system, which relies on millions of individual souls, each with their own nuanced life history and perspective, thinking and acting in the same way, right? Think about that for a second. From the perspective of somebody who's trying to kind of harness the collective power of the people of this country or control them or influence them in a certain direction. Think about somebody whose entire interests are resting on whether or not they can get you to go a certain direction. Billions, trillions even. Money, power. Do you think they would do something they might not be allowed to do in order to push that a certain direction if trillions of dollars were on the line? Obviously. I mean, that's a dumb question. Obviously they would. Historically speaking, you should not even balk at that question. But what they're saying here is that ultimately we need to, there's so many different perspectives and thoughts on each individual discussion point. And so what they need is to kind of conform us down to have, you know, two different versions, a left way and a right way. Right? So they can ultimately guide you into the same funnel. But if you have 150 different perspectives, well, that just becomes impossible. And so you see where this goes. Now it says the empirical literature has shown that compliance and suggestibility are negatively related to intelligence. All right? So the smarter you are, the less suggestible you are. You think about things before you act. Right? In consumer psychology, there is even a technique, and this is important, consumer, meaning the way that they, you know, like a Bernaysian kind of the way that they try to manipulate you into buying things like, you know, what do they call cigarettes? I forget what it was. There was a manipulation they used in regard to cigarettes and tricking women into smoking. They called them something like Liberty Sticks or something like that. And this was a classic Bernaysian propaganda tactic, and it tricked them into smoking, essentially. And that's why they had the huge surge of women smoking I don't know what the dates were, but that's what they're talking about. So in consumer psychology, they're figuring out ways to trick you into doing what they want you to do. And this perfectly applies to where we are today. And it says, there is even a technique called disrupt, then reframe. Bamboozle people first, and they'll be more likely to buy what you're selling. Does that sound familiar? That applies to foreign policy. That applies to domestic policy. That applies to every aspect of psychology. If they can get you off your, you know, kind of just uncomfortable and everything's off course. And suddenly, right, they can get you bamboozled and then you'll be more likely to buy whatever it is they're giving you. That's kind of a problem reaction solution scenario, right? They destabilize everything. They come in, you know, they create it. They wait for you to flip out and they go, well, don't worry, here's your solution. They already had that solution before they ever started the problem. I also want to note here that in every single point in here, they list a site. They cite the source that you can look up for yourself. And most of them are studies that you can look up, which I have for most of the ones that half of the ones he references there, I've already pointed out. But he makes some really excellent points here. It says, ultimately, the common denominator for increasing suggestibility is switching off executive function in the prefrontal cortex, disabling the superego, the conscience, the internal monologue. Without Jiminy Cricket on his shoulder, Pinocchio would never have become a real boy. Interesting analogy, right? The idea that once you can start thinking for yourself is when you become real. He would have always remained a puppet had he not gained his own direction. Modern society is shot through with things that make us similarly dumb, literally unable to speak, which is what dumb actually means. The term dumb means, you know, not able to speak, classically. Interesting idea. The idea that these things are creating a scenario where you are more suggestible. We can see where this is obviously going. Now it says face masks can now be added to the list. He goes over a whole bunch of different examples, but added to the list of mandates that make you stupid, as if Piers Morgan feverishly promoting them weren't enough evidence enough. Here are the facts on why you are absolutely, categorically should not wear a face mask. They make you suggestible. They make you more likely to follow someone else's direction and do things you wouldn't otherwise do. How perfect is that? In short, they switch off your executive function, your conscience. How relevant does that feel to right now? Great. And how perfect is it that what they're trying to do is argue that people that are not wearing them are sociopaths? Seems to be quite the opposite direction that it suggests, right? It says a great example comes from a study by Mathis and Guest, 1976, who asked participants how willing they would be and how much they would have to be paid to carry a sign around the university cafeteria reading, masturbation is fun. The results showed that when people wore a mask, they were more likely to carry the sign and required less money to do so. That's a pretty interesting point, right? So it shows you feel less noticed. With a mask on, people are more willing to do things that might be outside their comfort zone or more willing to do things that might not be okay. They also point out in regard to Halloween, and we've all seen this scenario, children without a mask broke the rule taking more candy when they were only told they could take two, 37% of the time, while 62% of the time kids with masks did it, right? The authors concluded that masks, quote, lead to lower restraints on behavior. That's pretty damn interesting with where we are right now. And especially if you're trying to create a situation that causes chaos. The effect has similarly been found online. And we all see this. The online disinhibition effect refers to the tendency for people to act antisocially when anonymous online. The disinhibiting effects of wearing a mask are described by psychologists in terms of, and this is not now, this is prior. Right. So let's be you people out there that are oh, that's fake news that they're attacking the mask discussion. These are discussions and articles written in 1989, 1986, 1962, 2005. These are things that were written about this before we got here. So when they're telling you that psychologists have already decided that masks do these things to you, well, you shouldn't be balking at these things. You should ask yourself whether they considered these when they decided where we are now. But it says they described by psychologists in terms of suspension of the superego's control mechanisms, allowing subconscious impulses to take over. That's so interesting. Subconscious impulses to take over. They wrote that masks shortcut conscious defense systems and encourage massive regression to more primitive state. Right? So the opposite of expanding your consciousness, the opposite of growing and bettering yourself, you're a massive regression to a more primitive state. Does that not feel exactly where we are right now? Everybody knows this resonates with where we feel right now. Whether you agree with masks or not, you know that this makes sense. It says 18th century masquerades allowed mask wearers to release their repressed hedonistic and sexual impulses. Right? They all wore their masks, they came together at parties, and they started acting out in ways they never otherwise would have. This is very interesting, and especially for those with religion in their life, or even spirituality, this might add a little extra. In the 12th century, Pope Innocent III banned masks as part of his fight against immorality. Think about that. So here we are pushing masks on every single person and lowering their inhibitions and allowing them to, you know, regress to a primitive state and act out emotionally. I mean, it's they're like, you could argue that it's causing a rise in immorality, or at least that's what the Pope thought at the time. Now, it says in 1845, New York State made it illegal, this is incredible, for more than two people to wear masks in public after farmers wore masks to attack their landlords. So how much you want to bet, for all those in New York listening right now, how much you want to bet that that's still on the books? How much you want to bet? I would love somebody to find this out. How much you want to bet that right now on the books in New York City, there's a law that says no more than two people aren't allowed to wear masks in public. How much you want to bet? And then they make a law that says that you have to. How perfect is that? Because they never go back and remove these old laws. There's so many laws in the books from hundreds of years ago. So how dumb is it for these people to have laws that are contradicting each other right now about the thing that they're screaming is an absolute? I just can't wait for you guys to bring that to me. I'm sure that's happening right now. Now it says, from a neuroimaging perspective, masks are known to inhibit identity and impulse control. Suddenly now you're becoming a collective Borg blob, right? You're inhibiting your sense of identity. You're now just part of the collective. Does that not seem where this is going? It says both associated with executive function in the prefrontal cortex. Again, cites this big study, which you should read for yourself. In other words, masks silence the Jiminy Cricket in the brain. Let me say that again. Remember the conscience. Masks silence the Jiminy Cricket in the brain. Is that where we would want to go as a people? Or is that where we would be driven by a government trying to control us? It says, it is little wonder that covering your mouths would shut us up psychologically. Studies have shown that clothing has a powerful effect on how we think via a principle known as enclosed cognition. It says, similarly, in the world of body language, somebody putting their hand over their mouth is a sign that they are listening intently. They're ready to receive information, not to question it. It says there is also a more basic reason masks might make you stupid. Decreasing oxygen flow to the brain. Face valves reduce ventilatory function in the long term, according to the study in 2012. The surgical mask may reduce blood oxygen among surgeons, according to a study in 2008. Oh, it's fake news, though, right? You know how many examples? These studies, he's pointing out studies that I hadn't even seen. And yet they're willing to argue open, bald-faced lies. Come right out in front of you, these medical professionals, and argue that that's simply not true, that there's no evidence that they cause any reduction in blood. That's just fake news conspiracy theory, but there's like 40 studies that argue exactly that. Do you not realize what a crazy clown world deception we're living in right now? It is unbelievable. I've never seen it this obvious. Now, remember the thing that Derek Brose talked about in this, right? We just talked about this not too long ago, but the idea that we have the parasite stress theory. I think I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the idea that this is this, I think at least two studies that Derek referenced, these studies that talk about, sorry, I was just checking. It looked like we're not live on Rockfin. It wasn't starting properly earlier for some reason, but as I lose my place, oh yeah, the authoritarian, the idea of the parasite stress theory is that ultimately, as you may remember, that they know based on numerous studies that if a government wanted to drive people into an authoritarian government to where they had absolute control over their direction, they know that creating a pandemic, whether real or not, it's said explicitly in the study, you could fake a pandemic and it would cause the same result, that it drives people to acceptance. You're docile. You're willing to take direction. You're willing to snitch on your neighbor in the middle of these, in this scenario. So ask yourself, if they wanted to create this, why they wouldn't do something like that. And then, of course, give you masks, which just add to the docile aspect of who you are and regress you into a lower state, and on and on and on. It's all perfectly aligned. Now, I could be completely wrong. Maybe this is not true at all. But these are very true statements that need to be considered. It says there is also before I go past that, where was it? That was the same point. So before I want to talk about this in particular, because I've referenced these a lot, but it says, again, a post-COVID study. Let me go back to this view real quick. A post-COVID study right here found that 81% of the 128 previously fit healthcare workers developed headaches as a result of wearing personal protective equipment. That's 2020. That's during COVID-19. They tested and 81% of the people who had fitted healthcare, the exact thing that they kept telling you was the best one you could possibly have, 81% of them had headaches as a result of it because it's affecting their bodies, guys. It's plain. Now, this is the one I keep showing you from before, 2004. Says quite plainly. Now remember, this is the NIH, National Library of Medicine, says 70% of the patients show a reduction in partial pressure of oxygen. 19% develop various degrees of hypoxemia. Wearing an N95 mask significantly reduced the PO2 level. What are we arguing about here? This isn't hypothetical. This is a plain, clear, obvious, random controlled trial showing you that these masks caused a clear, significant reduction in blood oxygen level, increased respiratory rate, and increased the occurrence of chest comfort and respiratory distress. It says wearing an N95 mask for 4 hours during HD and significantly reduced your blood oxygen level and increased these effects. This is plain, obvious. Here's another one, respiratory consequences of an N95, as I showed you all of these. This was one of the other ones. I mean, it all says the same thing. Volumes of oxygen consumption and carbon dioxide expired were significantly reduced. I mean, these are all showing you from the same things that you have a reduction in blood oxygen level. Dyspnea variation was significantly higher with surgical masks, which I believe was just trouble breathing, difficult labored breathing. And it says the difference was clinically relevant. Wearing a surgical mask, not an N95, a surgical mask modifies significantly and clinically the ability to breathe without influencing walk distance. That's plain. That's 2018. Guys, that's just a slam dunk. So we're talking about these things not only affecting you psychologically, but in fact, actually, if you're wearing these all day, every day, they are lowering your blood oxygen level, which is making you stupider. That's a fact. They are hurting you. They're making you lose brain cells. Now, whether or not you think it actually does amount to any effect, this is very real. And when people are having trouble breathing or having headaches, that means your body's telling you that something's not right. Add to that the idea of mask mouth and bad breath and cracking teeth and rashes and then bacterial pneumonia that has the exact same side effects and symptoms as what we're told COVID-19, that these masks are absolutely causing, that other doctors have already pointed out. Because, as I keep showing you, that the cloth masks, which the vast majority of people are wearing, are causing infections. Right, it says right here, the aim of the study was to compare the efficacy of cloth masks with medical masks. The null hypothesis is that there was no difference, meaning they're very different. And of course, what they found was a very big deal. The rates of all infection outcomes were highest in the cloth masks. The rate of the virus was statistically significantly higher just in the cloth masks. Cloth masks also had significantly higher rates of illness. An analysis by a mask use showed that the laboratory confirmed that there were significantly higher in the cloth mask group when compared with the medical masks. Penetration of even those masks was 97%. That's droplets, guys. It says this is the first random controlled trial of cloth masks. The results caution against the use of cloth masks. Moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration may result in increased risk of infection. As precautionary measure, cloth masks should not be recommended. But here we are, where the CDC is continuing to say that the vast majority of people should wear cloth masks. Anybody questioning right now whether these things have any kind of negative health effects? And then add on top of that, the study again that he pointed out from 2020 after COVID-19, where 81% of them had issues. Can you believe that we're talking about this kind of stuff? And right now this is being censored on YouTube. Right now, these things are being pointed out as fake news. Doctor saying there's no such thing. My brother goes to his doctor and asks if there's any health effects from masks. And he says, that's fake. That's not true. So either he doesn't know what he's talking about or he's lying to you. Which one makes you feel better? Because it's right here in front of you. Now it says, not only do face masks make it hard to breathe, but the evidence that they even work to stop the spread of coronavirus is limited at best. A popular brand of mask even carries the warning on its package. We've already talked about that. As for preventing carriers from spreading the disease, a meta-analysis found, for example, that of 8 random controlled trial studies, right? Not the ones in observational and computer models that the CDC just tried to push out as facts, but 8 random controlled trial studies, of 6 of them found no difference in transmission rates between controlled intervention groups. while one found that a combination, as we keep showing you, of hand washing and everything else then adds on that extra risk or extra use. So it's the hand washing and distancing that actually have an effect. Add the mask and basically stays the same. Non-surgical masks such as scarves and cloths are almost useless, according to a study from 2010. But sure, let's make sure everyone is using those. That's what they're pushing on everybody right now. And then add on to that that it causes infections. It says masks may be unhealthy, causing a buildup of bacteria around the face, according to another study from 2018. All of these studies that you can look at for yourself, but it's all fake news, though. Don't forget. When people are forced to remain silent when they are being told the most obvious lies, or even worse, when they are forced to repeat the lies themselves, they lose once and for all their sense of probity. That's weird. I feel like I've never said that out loud. It sounds weird. Probity. But it says to assent to obvious lies is in some way to become evil oneself. Think about that. To know it, to continue to push these because you think you're supposed to. That's a choice. To assent to obvious lies is in some way, some small way, to become evil oneself. One's standing to resist anything is thus eroded and even destroyed. A society of emasculated liars is easy to control. The point of face masks is not to protect humans, but to diminish humanity, to rob people of their ego, their identity, and their autonomy. Masks are worn by this is important. This is actually a great point. Masks are worn by disposable human horror villains and ignorable background dancers. They make people less human. And the point is, dehumanization is rarely followed by anything good. And finishes to make a point about Rwanda and some horrible things that happened while the very governments that we're talking about today stood by and watched as they pretend. And I'm not saying Rwanda, just in examples around the world where these things were essentially allowed. These people were allowed to be dehumanized and acted like they were nothing. And we see how that goes. And we are the ones currently being dehumanized. Not a good path to be on. And kind of jumping over to the next topic in regard to testing, I thought this was funny that Elon Musk tweeted out something extremely bogus is going on, was tested for COVID 4 times today. 2 tests came back negative, 2 came back positive. Gee, what do you know? What a shocking development. Same machine, same test, same nurse. Rapid antigen test from BD. Now, that is a very clear, basic statement of exactly what happened. Here is Mr. MSNBC saying, such an irresponsible tweet. Why? Because he shared what happened to him? Or because you don't like what that says about your narrative? Like, think about, and this guy says this perfect. A scientist sharing hard data from their personal experience is irresponsible? That would only be the case if you were driving a narrative that required blind trust in the media and government, who are both pushing a campaign of fear. Oh, wait. I mean, come on, guys. How incredible is it? Such an irresponsible tweet. Kyle Griffin is somebody who you should never, ever, ever, ever listen to. If this is what he thinks is irresponsible, he is a blind supporter of authority. Blind. Bootlicker style. Like completely, completely blind to anything said from authority because you're not allowed to question that. How dare you? How irresponsible? How dare you express what you experienced? Do you not see how incredible that is? Now, I'm not saying we trust Elon Musk. I'm just saying that anybody in the position has the right to share what they went through. And there's no nuance there. It's very clear. He did 4 tests, same machine, same test, same nurse, 2 negative, 2 positive. What is irresponsible about that? What's irresponsible is that you think by telling the truth, it makes them undermine the efficacy of the test. No, the efficacy is undermined by the lack of efficacy. That's what undermines it, Kyle Griffin. But you see, these people are dedicated to upholding a control network, a control that the propaganda machine. That's what they are. So that's why it's irresponsible, because how dare you cut at the root of our propaganda machine? Disgusting person. Florida reported 100% positive COVID-19 tests from the... Oh, wait. Kyle, did you miss that part? I guess he must have missed that in his extensive due diligence on the topic, right? How, I mean, it was at least 9 or 10 different areas we talked about. This is just the one I pulled up. Florida reported 100% positive COVID-19 tests, right? Meaning that every single person they tested the entire time was a positive test. Do you realize that we had numerous labs saying 100% and then it came back that they were like 9%, maybe even 5%? There was numerous examples. Why was that? Because they were lying. They got caught lying, and then the media ignored it entirely. Like so many other examples in this completely fraudulent scenario. But so if Kyle Griffin is going, how irresponsible for you to say what you went through, he would argue that this is irresponsible too, because it's clearly showing you that this is a fraudulent experiment. Oh yeah, and this one too, Kyle Griffin, man who died in motorcycle crash counted as COVID-19 death. Oh, what an irresponsible truth teller you are. Here's another one, Kyle Griffin. Your coronavirus test is positive. Maybe it shouldn't be. Uh-oh, did you forget about this new mainstream article? The standard tests are diagnosing huge numbers of people who may be carrying relatively insignificant amounts of the virus. What does that mean? It means you may be told you're testing positive when you're not actually positive. And let's get right to the cut to the chase of it all. It says in three sets of testing data that include include cycle thresholds compiled by officials in Massachusetts, New York, and Nevada, up to 90% of people testing positive carried barely any virus, right? And then even the author of this article went on to argue in a tweet that that means that upper 90% of these people shouldn't even be locked down or controlled. The point being that when I get to the next point, which makes it even more clear, is that this does not mean that they're sick. In fact, having such a barely amount of the virus means that they're not, and by and large won't be able to spread this, because it takes a hell of a lot, as John Rappaport continues to point out, billions of them. But this test can literally get down to very, 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 very small amounts. So here's even the New York Times, and by the way, this was in August. I guess Kyle Griffin just forgot about that part of it. What an irresponsible tweet. Well, the next point to continue to show how Kyle Griffin can't think for himself, one solution would be to adjust the cycle threshold used now, this is in August, to decide that a patient is infected. So even the New York Times can call this out. Most tests set the limit at 40. Remember where this goes? You mean 40 or even 37? That Dr. Fauci admitted doesn't actually mean it has the right effect. So here they are admitting that this is what most people are doing. They say this in August. Nobody changes anything. Does that seem to suggest that they want those false positives? Yes, it does. I didn't say it means that for sure. I said it seems to suggest that. Because why would they not change the obvious, obvious, obvious thing that everyone's screaming about that says, look, if it's that high, you're going to get false positives. That's a guarantee. And they don't change it? Kyle Griffin says, that's irresponsible? Do you get the picture yet? Here's Dr. Fauci. Let's hear him again.
And a good question. And what is now sort of evolving into a bit of a standard that if you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more.
Okay, so 40 is the average. Most people, almost all of them are doing 40, 37. That's over 35.
That the chances of it being replication competent are minuscule.
Minuscule. The chances of it being meaning they do not get what they need. So that's wrong. So here he is in July, straight up telling you that the cycle threshold being used today is wrong. And in fact, is going to give you false positives. So July, he says this. No one changes anything. August, New York Times points it out and says, look, false positives. And they're doing it at 40. Maybe we should change that. No one does anything. All the way to today, where Kyle Griffin continues to pretend like that's wrong to point out this is an obvious fraudulent scenario that's absolutely giving us false positives.
So that if somebody, and you know, we have patients, and it's very frustrating for the patients as well as for the physicians. Somebody comes in and they repeat their PCR and it's like 37 cycle threshold. But you almost never can culture virus from a 37 threshold.
Almost never culture a virus. Wait, but so we're not dealing with a virus then? No, we're good. Oh, wait, we are dealing with a virus, so we're told. So how does that make sense? You can almost never do exactly what we're trying to do. Almost never, he just said, with a cycle threshold of 37 or higher, which is exactly what the New York Times is saying. Well, gee, what do you know?
Cycle. So I think if somebody does come in with 37, 38, even 36, you got to say, you know, it's just dead nucleotides, period.
Oops. Big oops right there, guys. So you mean that you might just be getting a false positive because of dead nucleotides? Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. Back in July. So do you think that if this government had any intention of making sure that these numbers were correct, that they would have allowed everybody to continue cycle threshold to 40 all the way up until today, when he was saying this in July? The New York Times covered it in August. And here we are right now, November, continuing to do the wrong thing. This either means, and I'm just kind of being funny by going back, because mainstream media sucks. You get the point? The point is, if this guy either is not caring to do the smallest amount of research that I can do on my computer in my chair, or he's lying to you as a matter of policy because he's a lying propagandist, or he's just too dumb to know that he's either of those things. At the end of the day, what are we arguing about? It's very, very, very clear. And this is why I get deleted. Because this is a no-brainer, guys. This is a no-brainer. He said it right there. And yet, we're still doing it to this very day. And that's why you get things like that, or lies constantly, constantly coming at your face. Now, on top of all of that, Fauci's now saying, well, don't worry, though. Don't worry, because we've got all these cases, which are actually false positives because the cycle threshold's too high. And don't worry, though, because the vaccine's just about to get here. Gee, who didn't see that whole combination coming? And it won't be much longer. But when you read into it, you find out that he says exactly what I keep telling you was always the point. Always. That it's not going away, ever. Certainly, it's not going to be a pandemic for a lot longer, even though it's actually not a pandemic now, because it's about the same level as the flu, and even as the U.S. government's own color-coded threat level shows, it's a level 2 or lower, so it's not even close to a pandemic. Sorry, but they'll keep telling you that, because it's part of the agenda. It says it's not going to be that false pandemic for a lot longer, because I believe the vaccines are going to turn that around. Then he says, I doubt we're going to eradicate this. Ah, you see where it's going. I think we need to plan that this is something we may need to maintain control over chronically. Chronically. That's like the word of bliss for Big Pharma. Chronically. Forever. Constantly giving you medications for the rest of your life. Right? That's the opposite of what healthy sounds like. It says it may be something that becomes endemic, that we have to just be careful about. You know what that translates to? You'll have to get a COVID vaccine like you get a flu vaccine for the rest of your life, because it'll never go away, even though you'll maybe one day realize 100 years from now that it was never really here to begin with. But sure, just like past examples of lying about vaccines that we get caught and they find out 20, 30, 40 years later, that's what this will probably be, unless we're courageous enough to stop it now. How many times we showed you the examples of the swine flu in the 70s, where they lie? They lied to you. They had not a single verifiable case, and yet they forced people to take it, and they got hurt. Jump forward to Robert Kadlec in regard to the anthrax vaccine, Emergent BioSolutions, who's right now involved with both Emergent BioSolutions and Robert Kadlec, right now involved with your safety process of your vaccine, who absolutely created, didn't test, didn't care about a vaccine for anthrax that hurt people. They knew it wasn't safe, pushed it anyway. They lost that lawsuit. I've talked about it a million times. That same grouping of people are involved right now with making these things that aren't safe. And as I keep showing you, the tests that Forbes point out are designed to succeed, right? They're designed to succeed. The point of them is to get them through and not actually test if they're safe. Pfizer saying 90% effective, despite the fact that Pfizer's group consists of 32 vaccine recipients with a success margin of 7 or less developing symptoms compared to 25 in the control group. That's unbelievable. Well, here's Bill Gates, though, telling you, don't worry, though, we're going to make sure it's a global vaccine program. Oh, because Bill Gates is a politician? Or, oh, no, he's a scientist. Oh, excuse me, he's a doctor. Oh, wait, he's none of those things. So what's happening here? Why is this guy involved with any of this stuff? I think you know that by now, and you're going to see it even more clearly here. Here's what he says. Johnson, you know, the UK prime minister, met with Gates along with the CEOs of 10 of the world's biggest pharmaceutical companies. Sure, because they're all looking out to make you safe, right? That what that sounds like? To foment plans to roll out the vaccine for coronavirus. Cool. But again, this is what it says next. Johnson said that the opportunity the G7 presidency in 2021 affords Britain will allow the nation to spearhead a global health plan developed by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in partnership with the Wellcome Trust. You know, that thing with MasterCard that's about creating these wellness passes and the immunity passports. You know, that fake news thing that we're not supposed to talk about. But don't worry, though. UK is going to spearhead this global health plan with this non-doctor, non-scientist, non-politician, and work with all the biggest pharmaceutical companies that obviously have your best interest at heart, because historically speaking, they've never done anything that would hurt you, right? Never. Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, they've never lied to you about asbestos and baby powders and, you know, or it's such a joke to pretend like they're working with the very things that have constantly lied to you. But we're the conspiracy theorists. It says the British government is preparing to roll out the coronavirus vaccine on a level never before seen. Guess what? Drafting in the army to man vaccination centers at arenas, sports halls, and shopping malls. Is it coincidence that both the UK and the US are using military operations to roll out a vaccine program? No, it's not. They're going to tell you, oh, it's just because of, you know, infrastructure and you know, blah, blah, blah. No, this is a military operation. And it should be alarming to you that both of them are using the militaries to roll this out coordinated. But of course, we just don't care and listen to what they tell us. Put your head back in the sand. It says Gates has previously declared that the world won't return to normal until a lot of people take a second super effective coronavirus. See all the caveats there? So it's not the first one, it's the second one, and it has to be super effective. So most likely you're going to get one or two or three, and then they'll be like, it didn't work, try it again next year. Or it's not good enough. It's just enough to make you not die, but it's going to continue, right? The same things they do with the flu. Every year we take more flu vaccine, but every year it continues to get worse. Does that make sense to anybody? It only makes sense in a big pharma control mechanism. But it says the billionaire has also suggested that governments need to brainstorm ways of reducing vaccine hesitancy in the face of anti-vaccine conspiracy theories. Don't you love how they just, that's the push. Despite all of the things that we're always showing you that are nothing even close to conspiracy theories. Nothing I've shown you today is conspiracy theory. It's all factual information sourced to the very people that they're claiming we're supposed to listen to. Right? So such as conspiracy theory, like they're going to force you to get a vaccination card to be able to enter life again. I thought that was conspiracy. Oh, it was, though. They keep telling us fake news. Stop scaring people. You're causing vaccine hesitancy. Breaking: Finland's prime minister and member of the Social Democratic Party says she's calling for vaccination cards for freedom to travel in 2021 amid the COVID pandemic. Oh, fake news, though. Don't listen. It's fake news. That politician doesn't say that. Only listen to the blue checks on Twitter, because they obviously know everything. If you actually only listen to people telling you how to think, none of this would be here right now. The vaccine cards, the contact tracing, the loss of your constitutional rights, the destruction of your business, the forcing you to wear a mask, the forced lockdowns. I mean, all of this stuff is, do you imagine it? Everything we said was going to happen when this started is happening right now. Every single one of them. And every single one of these blue checks came out, and I shouldn't say that. A lot of them came out and said, you're a conspiracy theorist. All these people that were once independent media that are now attacking those of us that obviously got this right just cannot get past the block. They are lying to us. Like we told you that we'd be in a position where they're rolling in all of this stuff, and it totally is happening. You may want to convince yourself that it's because of COVID-19 that it's happening. Regardless, that doesn't matter. We said this would happen, this would happen, this would happen. And you said fake news, that'll never happen. And now there's a justification, as there always is. Medical pre-crime, because you're a danger of COVID. Oh, okay. Forced masks, you're a danger of COVID. But we're not really, though. Fake news. There's no way to win this conversation with people that do not want to think for themselves. This is coming, guys. As I keep telling you, that is where you're getting to. And of course, they're going to frame it as getting your freedom back that they didn't have a right to take away, with things like this, with the Wise Key digital health passport that already has it listed of what they're going to be doing once the diet vaccine is available. It's already part of it, guys. And of course, remember that Fauci is saying, you know, time to do what you're told. Time to finally just let it go and do what you're told, guys. Very frustrating. Now, this is something I believe. Let me look real quick before we jump to the next part. Before we get on, let's see how long we've been going. Almost about 2 hours. So I might want to roll some of this over till tomorrow. Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to cover this next part tomorrow, but what I'm going to get into next to finish off today is the simple idea that we're seeing all of this happen. We're seeing the lockdowns pushed, right? We're seeing this rise, despite the fact that doctors and medical professionals and people around the world are actively speaking up and saying, this is exaggerated. This is misleading. This is not what we're being told. Almost 500 medics and academics have penned a letter to the UK prime minister. You know, the guy who's just now saying he's working directly with Gates to roll out the Great Reset, essentially. That's what he's talking about. Informing him that official COVID data is being exaggerated, right? Look, if these people cared at all about the truth, This is so easy to see. So every single one of these people, like your Johnsons and your Merkels and your Trumps and your Bidens, they're all happily going along with this narrative. Because trust me, if I can see it, they can see it. It says the group claims that mass testing has distorted the risk of the virus, with the high numbers of the tests are likely to be producing false positives. Not likely, 100% are creating false positives. To what degree? I guess I shouldn't. I keep saying it like that. It sounds confusing. They are absolutely, without a doubt, producing false positives. The question is to what degree, right? You cannot pretend that they don't, right? It's just simply not the case. It's very clear, and even Fauci's admitted it. It says, and infection and death rates need to be put into context of normal seasonal rates. Exactly. That's why they're blending everything together so we don't see what's really going on. These are doctors that are calling it out because they see it. 500 medics and academics saying this is not the truth. The letter was entitled, First, Do No Harm. Of course, that's not how they think today, though, right? As I pointed out the other day as well, German doctor, doctors writing a letter to Chancellor Merkel, put an end to the coronavirus fear machine. It says, we, the signatories, are doctors from all areas of healthcare who have been serving people in practices and clinics for decades. During this time, we have witnessed more than one seasonal infection in Germany, most of them with far more severe conditions and significantly more deaths than since January 2020 from COVID infection diseases. Think about what he just said right there. These are doctors who are openly stating that during this time that they have been doctors, they've witnessed far more severe issues that we didn't freak out about. How do you pretend that that's fake news? How do you sit back and go, well, that just means he must be a non, he must not believe in the scientific method, which is the dumb, clumsy thing they tried to roll out in the first place, despite these people pointing to science, despite these people arguing not that they don't believe in the science that they're talking about, but rather that they can see that the people pretending the science is there don't actually understand what they're talking about or that they're lying to you, right? You can have a difference of opinion without arguing one side doesn't believe in science. I mean, that's just so clumsy, but that's what they do. I argue the reason they come out with such dumb arguments is because they're lobbying these to the lowest common denominator, right? They're shooting for the average individual that maybe doesn't understand these things, which tends to show you that I tend to think that most people are smarter than that, which is probably why we're seeing through all their BS today. But they say they together serve approximately 70,000 people. The circumstances of the coronavirus wave in the FRG have been perceived differently than the media and the ongoing warnings of politics, which were unjustified, in fact, presented to the public for months. Predictions of individual advisory virologists and millions of seriously ill and hundreds of thousands of deaths in Germany have not been true in any way. Those are doctors from Germany. All these doctors that signed this letter together are saying, you're not telling us the truth. In the practices, hardly any infected patients were infected, and if, then with normal, mostly mild progressions of the virus flu. The hospitals have been more empty than ever before. There was no overload of ICUs. Right, guys, this is not my opinion. This is what doctors, medical professionals in the real world are writing in and saying they experienced. It's not fake news. This is what they saw in their real world scenario. But this is not being allowed. You can't even talk about this stuff. This video will likewise probably be censored off YouTube. The last three have apparently been deleted. It says, however, there are months of secured evidence and facts that this wave of the virus is only slightly more intense than the ordinary seasonal flu. What do you know? And must be considered much more harmless than, for example, influenza infection of 2017-18 with 27,000 deaths in Germany alone. According to the data situation, there hasn't been a threat to German population from COVID-19 for months. And according to him, not at all. He says, this must be the reason to return to normal life in Germany, a life without restrictions, fear, and infection hysteria. Then he goes on to talk about the horrifying realities of depression and suicide and on and on and on. Here are all the doctors. I mean, you can dismiss every one of them as some kind of fringe weirdo on the internet, or you can realize that these are all doctors with practices that serve lots of people, 70,000 combined, in fact. 70,000 people these doctors serve combined. All of them signing the letter, all of them arguing that what they're seeing is not what we're being told. At what point do we finally wake up from this, guys? At what point do we allow ourselves to have this conversation and realize that more people now have come out against what this is than people that they're pushing out on Fox and CNN? The majority of these medical professionals in the world are clearly speaking out and saying, this isn't where we are. And of course, regardless of that, Biden's potential COVID advisor, who is nothing at this point, that U.S. should go into 4 to 6 weeks of lockdown. And you know what I should want to point out? Of course, this is the guy that just went on Joe Rogan's show, right? Of course, Joe Rogan didn't have me on the show, didn't have any number of other people that would absolutely get into some information that he'll never get to talk about on Spotify Network. That's why they bring on a insider to come on and say, you're all going to die. This is a horrible thing and we're all in danger, despite the fact that the evidence very clearly doesn't show that. I remember a time back in the day when Joe Rogan used to care about the truth. Maybe I was wrong then. Who knows? But at the end of the day, it's just despicable that this is the kind of people they trot out there for a show that gets the vast majority, that reaches more people than anybody. Because what he did do is come out there and basically scared everybody. He's the one now telling you to go back, and there were 4 to 6 weeks of a national lockdown, despite the fact that I mean, we just talked about the numbers. In a lot of these places in this country, it's 0.09. Right? We're not talking about everybody that's all, I mean, these certain areas that are a little more hot, but in most cases, this is way less than the flu. But yet they just average it together and say that we need the whole country. Destroying everything that you have, everything that you hold dear, destroying your connection with your family, everything. Here's the CDC admitting, though, collateral damage. The CDC admits COVID lockdown sparked surge in child's mental health issues. So add on to this the idea that they're okay with this, despite the fact that the numbers don't justify it, despite the fact that it will cause more hardship for more people and increase the deaths, despite the numbers only being about as a flu, despite the fact that they're violating your rights and destroying your business and on and on and on. They're also saying, well, yeah, it also causes some pretty severe mental health issues in children, but it's okay because you're in danger. But we're not, though. That's the thing. The numbers aren't there. So they can't just keep pivoting back into COVID to justify what? Allowing suicide? Allowing the destruction of our entire economy that will never be able to fight back from, you know, they're rebuilding it. How do we not see that? If you have the slightest, even the slightest, if you think for 1 second that you're actually going to be able to come back out and rebuild your business right back into the world, that it just doesn't exist anymore. You need to realize that they stole from you if your business is no longer there. They took it. Some other group gobbled up the market. And now you're going to have to rebuild your life in the COVID world. Building masks for ventilators or, you know, whatever, building dividers between people at concerts. That's just nonsense. It says, as Joe Biden's COVID advisory team began to set the narrative for Americans to accept a very strict nationwide lockdown for up to 6 weeks, because the scientists say so, the CDC has unleashed some rather painful science, exposing the collateral damage that tyrannical lockdowns have caused among the youngest members of our society who can't even vote to throw them out. Now remember, guys, regardless of the illusion of the narrative, we're already in a lockdown. We've been in a lockdown. Regardless of whether they try to play the game where it's some states and others and blah, 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 we are all in a situation where mask mandates are everywhere, where everybody is on general lockdown. This is not a secret. So whether you want to pretend like Trump didn't allow it to happen or it was only the governors of the Republican, our country's on lockdown. We've been on soft martial law since this started. So just because Trump pretends like he's reluctant but lets it happen, Biden acts like he's way more tyrannical but lets it happen, it's the same thing. It's the same agenda and the same illusion from a different perspective. The same, what does it end up to? That it happens. And here we are. We're going forward. And it was always going to increase because it was increasing with Trump. Now it says disruptions to daily life during the pandemic lockdowns, anxiety about contracting COVID-19 and social isolation are all taking a toll on children's mental health. A report released Thursday by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The pandemic mitigation techniques were implemented to varying degrees of tyranny, depending on the governor's political orientation. The average weekly numbers of children's emergency department visits for mental health related reasons soared. Now understand, guys, this is not COVID stuff. Now I am almost going to promise you that they will end up making this about COVID. Remember the cognitive things we talked about with COVID? That's what they're going to end up saying. Well, we thought that children were completely unaffected, but it turns out it was affecting their cognitive abilities. Well, no, the lockdown and your social engineering and your alarmist mentality and your alarmist media scared them and broke their psyche. That's what happened. But no, they're going to make it just like they say that COVID destroyed the economy. No. They destroyed the economy. Their illusion of COVID is what they use to destroy the economy so they could blame COVID and make it about that and not their bailout, for, 2008 2.0. mental health issues. These children are having breakdowns. It says compared with 2019, the proportion of mental health related visits for children 5 to 11 and 12 to 17 increased approximately 24 and 31% respectively. As a reminder, the World Health Organization recently advised that national lockdowns are not an optimal way to control the virus. What? Wait a minute. So you mean that the U.S. government and the media of the U.S. is not abiding by World Health Organization guidelines, but aren't they censoring if we talk out against those guidelines? Wait, isn't that exactly what this says right here, that we're not allowed to go against them? But aren't they the ones saying that we shouldn't be using lockdown? Don't even think about it, guys, because the more you think, the more you realize that it doesn't make sense, that it's just another excuse to keep you controlled. Yes, the World Health Organization is now saying that, but as they censor us for agreeing with them while pretending that we're not, it shows you that it's all a bunch of nonsense. It appears that Dr. Ostrom and his ilk are unable to contemplate the second order effect as the social order. It says, presumably, the scientists urging lockdowns see children's mental health deterioration as merely collateral damage on the path to control. Yep, exactly, because here we are. Chicago mayor's lockdown orders, canceling of Thanksgiving. Oh, cool. So yeah, canceled now because you're in danger. But we're not, though. Here's the World Health Organization, the one we're not allowed to challenge, says very clearly, point two, and in general, the most people are in fact in 0.09. So we're not in danger. Right. It's incredible. But now they're canceling Thanksgiving because you're in danger, though. Don't let those two things conflict, because you just have to look at them separately. This is disgusting hypocrisy of American political leadership. Now it says Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot faced intense backlash Thursday for her recent round of lockdown orders, which came days after she joined large crowds celebrating Joe Biden's election victory. So she's willing to lock everybody down and say that you're in danger because you can't be social distancing, you have to wear masks, except that for a brief moment after they thought they won, they all rushed out and didn't care about any of that stuff. Does that make you feel like they're serious? Or that it's the narrative they're using and they kind of lost themselves for a moment, or just didn't care because, yay, we won, screw you guys. Everybody did. We saw they're cheering in front of the White House and everyone's going, yay, Biden. No one came out and freaked out. No one arrested them. Nobody tear gassed them and said, you can't be here, you're all in danger. That didn't happen. Why? And realize that was Trump's White House still. Why didn't we see that, guys? Because it's an illusion. You are being tricked. It says the advisory calls on the people from Chicago to do the following. Stay home unless for essential reasons. Except unless we want to go protest for ourselves, though. But we can do it and you can't. Stop having guests over, including family members that you do not live with. Avoid non-essential travel. Cancel Thanksgiving plans. That's what they're saying now. The video shows a mask dangling from one of her ears while surrounding people in without social distancing in the middle of their big, crazy, screaming, I guess, celebration. Critics took notice of what they considered to be blatant hypocrisy. That's not considered to be. That is absolutely blatant hypocrisy. People couldn't be with their loved ones in their final moments on this earth. Families couldn't hold funerals and grieve together. We saw that. Churches were closed under the threat of penalty. But of course, Lori Lightfoot can flout all the rules and scream into a megaphone, right? The Chicago's mayor office, of course, didn't respond to comment. But it's not just Democrats, obviously. That's the point. I've showed you Bill Barr. I've showed you numerous, Mike Pompeo, Trump himself. I'm not arguing that they should be doing anything. I'm just saying that both sides are showing you that they're willing to allow Americans to be violently arrested for these things, but not do them themselves on both sides. Here's the governor Nebraska. Governor announces increased restrictions to combat the coronavirus. Here's their increased restrictions. The governor announced increased restrictions in the new directed health measures that will be effective at 12:01 on November 30th. Must maintain 6 feet of separation between people. Was a recommendation. Now it's a mandate, right? Now you're not allowed. You can be arrested for being close to anybody. Cool. Welcome to your new normal. No, remember 15 days to flatten the curve? Nah, let's call it 3 months. Let's call it 5 years to flatten the curve. That's where we're going. But it's only 5 years, though. It's temporary, guys. It says no more than 8 people per table at bars. Oh, so I see. So you can't be close to anybody except when you're sitting down and eating, but only at bars and not more than 8. Cool. Totally makes sense. But when you're standing up, you got to run 6 feet apart real quick because the virus knows, you know. It says must wear a mask in businesses where you have close contact with customers or patrons for 15 minutes or more. Participants at restaurants and bars must remain seated unless going to the bathroom or ordering. So I guess you can stand up while you're ordering. Okay. Sure. Why not? Only the household family can attend extracurricular activities like club sports or sporting events. Only the household. What? Why? What if I want to come see my cousin play? Can't come. Only the household can come. But what's the difference? You're outside. You're not where, if you were, I mean, none of this is actually, this is a control, guys. You are being controlled every single time you see these, and based on numbers that aren't there. This is the flu. I just showed you the numbers from the World Health Organization. The CDC says the same thing. Why don't we think about this? Why aren't we allowed to talk about it? It says only the household. No, it says indoor halls and events can have no more than 25% rated occupancy. This was previously 50. Okay. Okay. So just bring it down 25%. And that's going to work. I mean, it's so arbitrary. It says dancing is prohibited except at weddings. So you can't even dance now, unless you're at a wedding, though, because the virus knows when you're at a wedding and doesn't affect you when you're dancing, right? But if you're 6 feet together, it's okay while you're dancing if you're at a wedding, right? But if you're not at a wedding, you can't dance and you have to be 6 feet apart. But if you go into a wedding, you can be dancing, but then I mean, it's just so dumb. Dancing is prohibited except at weddings, but guests can be dancing near their tables when they're in groups of no more than eight. So if you have nine people, you can't dance by the table, but you can sit down, but you can stand up while you're ordering. But if one guy leaves, then you can all dance again. Make sense? Cool. Health clubs must maintain 6 feet of separation between people working out. So now you can be at a place where you're sweating and exerting effort and you know, all this stuff's happening as long as you're 6 feet apart. I mean, I just can't. This is so stupid. All of this stuff doesn't make sense, and I don't agree with any of it. I think it's all wrong. And the point being, guys, is you should have the choice for yourself. I'm not saying you should think one way or the other. I'm saying that you should have the right as a free-thinking individual to make these choices for yourself, especially considering the potential side effects that are being caused by these things, and all of them, lockdown, mask, everything, the side effects being caused, as well as the fact that it's your right. It's your body. I don't know how we got to a point where they argued somehow that your freedoms are a light switch that can be turned off the moment they say you're in danger. How are we that docile? Oh, because we're all being forced to wear masks. Ah, that's why it makes sense. But it says less than half of Americans likely to comply with the new lockdowns, according to Gallup. Well, I sure as hell hope so. This is a time for us to stand up and march through the streets, not lay down and allow ourselves to be locked in during a time when they're going to tell us it's only getting worse. We need to be on the streets and showing people what the reality is. But here's the point. I really hope that's the first thing you thought. Keep telling yourself you live in a democracy that was supposed to be a constitutional republic, yet is currently neither, as we are continually forced to do things the vast majority disagree with. That's called authoritarianism. Like, does anybody disagree with that? I don't care if it's because COVID, because terrorists, because mass shootings, because fear. I don't care what the excuse is. If the vast majority of people do not want to do it and they make you do it, you don't live in a democracy. End of story. They don't, it's a momentary breach from democracy because COVID. Nope, that's not how that works. You don't live in a democracy. You never have. That's exactly why the Princeton study showed you that, an oligarchy at best. And numerous other examples have always shown us this. And people who are lost in the two-party paradigm can't allow themselves to think it for one reason or another. But if you stand back and realize that your government is the one taking things from you, well, then it's very easy to realize that you're being cheated, stolen from, lied to every single turn. And here we are again as they force you into a lockdown that you do not need, that you do not deserve, that doesn't even make any sense. In fact, on top of all of it, even if it was justified based on the virus, we already know that lockdowns are not what we should be doing. They are archaic. They have the opposite effect. And I said that the moment this all started. In fact, if somebody would go back and get that first clip of the moment this started with COVID, remember that I said this in regard to the Iran made the comment. This is our lockdowns are archaic. Why are we doing that? And of course, all they could do is laugh and say, oh, stupid Iran, they're so dumb. They don't know, except they were right. And I didn't say it because Iran said it. I said it because it was correct. And I said, I've seen the science that have said over the years that lockdowns don't make sense. And we rushed right into it and it hurt more people. Why? I think because they wanted it to hurt more people. Yes, I did say that. That's my opinion. I'm tired of just playing this game. Every single thing they've done has led to more problems, more death, more sickness, more hospitalization, more everything, psychological problems. Every single choice they have made have led us directly, not tangentially, not sort of, but directly full speed ahead into more chaos, more death, more sickness. Is that a coincidence? It certainly could be, but I find that really hard to believe. So realize that you're not a democracy, that you're in an authoritarian state that is tricking you into thinking you're making choices while they rob you blind. And of course, to make that very clear, there's two articles here. Lockdowns for thee, but not for me. Newsom Pelosi attend a dinner party. Oh, you mean that very thing that they just told you peons weren't allowed to do? Yep. And they did it anyway. They planned it anyway. But then they go, oh, well, we apologize because you caught us, right? We didn't apologize for doing the thing we knew you weren't allowed to do. We apologize because you caught us doing it. And now we pretend like we didn't think it through. No, you're hypocrites. You're doing just like we were getting your hair cut, just like you're doing all these things that you know that we're not allowed to do because you're telling us that based on lies. They're all the same thing. And just like I keep telling you guys, why? Because they keep telling us you're not going back to normal, period. That is what is happening. Like this, unless we do something about it, they never planned to bring you back to normal. Just like the Patriot Act was never really temporary, this new normal scenario was never actually meant to be just until we get past the curve. Social distancing, as the MIT review said back in March, is here to stay for much more than a few weeks. It will upend our way of life in some ways forever. To stop coronavirus, we will need to radically change most everything we do. How we work, exercise, socialize, shop, manage our health, educate our kids. What? Take care of family members. Educate our kids? That's creepy as hell. Well, this is the point, though. This is your great reset from a different angle. We all want things to go back to normal quickly, but what most of us have probably not realized, yet will soon, is that things won't go back to normal. A few weeks, a few months, probably never. The point is, guys, we're not going back to normal. And they can't stop telling us that. And because people are too afraid to acknowledge it, we just won't realize where we are. It's stuff like this that makes me really horrified to realize the future that we're going in. I don't want you to screw the ad. You notice how Twitter's doing that now? They're inserting ads into clips that you share. I saw that on YouTube stuff too. They add little things on your embeds. Well, it pops up and says, look at this here. Emotional moment. Oh, it's supposed to be a heartfelt moment where a grandma and grandpa hug their kids through a hugging station. I found this to be sickening. Come on. For crying out loud.
It's a hug.
Oh, that's the hug. Put yours on.
Oh, I said hug. Hug.
Don't forget that.
Oh, we can put more holes in it.
It's gonna make it cry. I don't like this.
I don't like it doing this. Oh, is it a happy moment? I don't like doing it this way. Yeah, yeah. It's loving and happy as they cry about not being able to do the normal. That's not a happy moment, guys. This is a sad, disgusting, horrifying moment where they're forcing people to hug through plastic because they want you to believe you're in danger. As the grandma goes, I don't like doing it this way. But yeah, let's frame it as a heartfelt moment in your new broken normal. That's what they want you to think. This really makes my stomach turn. But as I said, this is not only horrifyingly wrong, it also makes no sense. If there are holes, as you can hear go, we can just cut some more holes. Things get through, guys. What are we talking about here? Is this what strips of plastic somehow stop that? It's about perception and reinforcing the false idea that we're in a pandemic, despite the government's own threat assessment putting this far below a pandemic. If you can stick your arms through and the masks are just one way or they don't work at all, as we keep showing, or they don't work the way they told us would do, there's no point. If you're going to do, then why don't you just put masks on and hug anyway? If you're going to hug the same way through the holes that are there. I mean, you realize they have things on their arms, right? Your hands and your mouth, your hands, in fact, tend to be the most primary form of transmission, despite the fact they keep pushing the mouth on people today. It's always been your hands. The amount we're talking about is your hands are covered, your mouth is covered, and you're hugging through plastic with big holes in it. What's the difference? What is the plastic doing? Right. This is a perception issue. This is about them getting you thinking that this is the normal now. This is how we have. This is not only, think about it like this. This is how disgusting this is to me. This is not just a new reality, right? This is supposed to be a new positive. Look at this. I know you were sad about not being able to hug or touch anybody. Well, now you can pretend you are through a big plastic shield. Isn't that warm and fuzzy? Merry Christmas. That's what that is. Makes me sick. It's sickening. Well, to rattle off some foreign policy, because I figured I would just get some out here today at the end. Or you know what? Why don't we do this? I'm going to leave these till tomorrow. So you guys, we'll go over them more, because I wanted to get into this a little bit. And I wanted this to go not as long as it might if I get into the foreign policy today. But that helicopter crash with the multinational peacekeeping force. A multinational peacekeeping force. Yeah, otherwise called military. I just love how the Israeli government frames these things, because of course it's an Israeli issue here we're talking about, and it's Israel's issue over Egypt and their peace deal with Israel. This is something very sketchy happened here, and Israel and six Americans died in a helicopter in a multinational peacekeeping force. Right. Yeah, there's something there. We're going to talk about it tomorrow, or, you know, Pompeo being accused of getting rich from the Israeli lobby. You know, nothing big there. Or Robert and Lakesh continue to point out the horrifying things happening to the Palestinian people, or Israel discussing long-term military aid with Biden if he gets elected, you know, longer than the $38 billion, even longer than that, because it's not about, because it's just an ally, right? Give us $100 billion because we control you, is what it feels like. New talks on JCPOA not happening because Iran continues to see them as they are. We'll get into more of this tomorrow as we continue to go through more foreign policy. But wrap it up here today, guys. There's so much more I could have probably gotten into today. It just never ends. I can't get past how clear all this is. I really can't get past why people can't question everything, which is such an important thing to do today. I mean, literally everything you come across needs to be considered and questioned and just thought through. Because the moment you do so, you'll begin to see that it's just so very apparent. It's never been this clear. Never in my life have I seen it this obvious, where they're saying, this is the truth, and you can literally look right there, and you can see it's not. Very plain. Signed affidavit, this isn't the truth. And they're going, yeah, this is the truth. And all it takes is you. It just takes 1 second to think you want, just think, okay, I'm going to go check this out. What does it actually say over there? That's all it takes. They just are desperately trying to hold on to you, just choosing to believe what they're saying is true. That's all they're desperate to keep you doing that. If they know that you're suddenly just asking other questions, well, they're going to lose you today, because that's how obvious it is. And that's why this is going into overdrive, because they're desperately trying to control your perception, as always. But thank you for being here and thinking for yourself and helping push this information out. I think I am going to try to do some clips tomorrow, even though I haven't done them in a long time. Like I said, I'm going to do the one specifically about the voting machines, about the voter fraud past, and I'm going to do the one where I go over the CDC mask absurdity, because those are important. But please help share this information out. Go to Odyssey, Rockfin, BitChute, on and on and on, all the rest of the platforms. There's no reason to be on YouTube anymore. Simply not. I love you guys. Thank you for being here, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
There's a lot of confusion among people and misinformation surrounding face masks. Can you discuss that?
The masks are important for someone who's infected to prevent them from infecting someone else. Now, when you see people and look at the films in China and South Korea, whatever, everybody's wearing a mask. Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
يصنعوا فيروس وينشروه في العالم باش الشركات الرأسمالية تحصل أموال. الأمصال لا تباع، الدواء لا يباع. إذا كانت هي تباع بثمن غالي معناها تجارة. اعلنوا قولوا الدواء مجاني. الأمصال المجانية مش حتنتشر الفيروسات اللي خلقوا فيها باش يعملوا أمصال وباش تكسب منها الشركات الرأسمالية. المصانع تشتغل بتاعت المخابرات.